E3 2015, HorribleNight.com has regrouped to recap this show because we haven't talked about it yet, and I'm going to die. This has been the longest I've gone without talking about E3 as E3 is happening. So we've brought together Aaron McNeil. Say hello.
Hello. Don't die and then don't re-die. That would be awful.
You're going to have to recap my re-death.
It's a very Dark Souls kind of thing.
Another person you might know is Cole Monroe is here.
Hello. You didn't tell me what to say, though, Justin. Oh.
I don't even know what I'm going to say next because I don't even know who this person is. Do you want to introduce yourself?
No. Introduce me. That's bullshit.
Ethan Lee?
Shut up.
Josh Lee is excited about E3 enough to join us on a podcast, so we're excited to have Josh Lee.
Yeah, thanks. And you know what? You can send us your thoughts of E3 to joshlee.com@joshlee.com.com.
That email just probably does work, right?
Yep.
All right.
It's legit.
I'm your host, Justin Lacey. We're recording this the weekend after E3, and let's just get into it, guys. Let's what do you think of this week? I kind of had low expectations of this E3, and kind of curious how it came off. How are you feeling about E3 right now?
What's E3 mean to you?
Electronics.
That's what I call it.
I was watching the E3 YouTube stream at one point and just realizing, oh, hey, that I am not the target demographic for this. Like, it was just like kind of feeling a little out of step with the YouTube crowd versus like going back to the prime E3 days of GameSpot live streams and just how they have been there since the beginning. And I kind of shied away from GameSpot in the last few years, but I found myself kind of getting back into their coverage this year, and it felt a little nostalgic for me of like, yeah, of course I'm going to watch GameSpot for E3. And they kind of became my whenever I had downtime, I just pulled up their live stream, and that was kind of cool. So that's kind of old school for me.
I think I only ever watched the press conferences, like for as far back as I can remember. I never really watched other coverage so much, except like maybe, yeah. I mean, like game trailers. Like, so I did watch some of the YouTube stuff because I think Jeff Keighley does a pretty good job interviewing people. And so that was kind of more of the same for what I saw. I didn't see any of the, I heard there were like a bunch of YouTube personalities and stuff that would show up. And
No, I'm sorry. I meant the Twitch. It was the Twitch stream that made me feel that way when I was trying to watch the Twitch live.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, okay. That was like, yeah, because
that's why I watch.
Yeah, because they had the other live streamers that I don't really keep up with, and they were hosting all kinds of stuff. But Keighley does make me feel at home. But there was something about going back to GameSpot this year, because I always associate that with like Rock Band's debut. Like they kind of closed whatever year Rock Band debuted. They closed E3 with some ridiculous show on their live stage, and that was E3 to me. Rock Band was back, so I guess it was kind of E3 this year, right? It was but how do you guys like? So we're all watching these press conferences, and we'll get into that. How are you guys following up? Like, do you go back and track down trailers? Do you just watch those kind of individually? Do you try to catch the live stuff? Like, Cole, what did you do this year?
I actually did a little bit of both of that. I for the first time in for a long time, I just really didn't keep up as the announcements were breaking and stuff, and like was looking forward to the end of the day going back and watching everything that was announced, and then eventually watching the big three press conferences. So kind of did a little bit of trailer watching and then sitting through them again during the press conferences.
I wish it was only three press conferences this year. Holy shit. I was looking at these notes.
Yeah, I didn't think I had time to watch all those other ones. So
it was seven, right?
Well, it depends.
Yeah, something like that.
Eight. If you count PC gaming.
One, two, three. No, it's nine with the PC gaming if you count Square Enix. Which I'm not sure if we do.
Depends on what you count.
All right, let's get into these press conferences. I don't want to, like, walk through step by step, but I do want to just let's just hit our highs and our lows, just kind of our surprises by each conference. So the big surprise to me, and I thought it was kind of cool that Bethesda stepped up to be like, hey, oh yeah, we're kind of a big deal. We should probably do a thing here. How about Sunday night? Which, for the record, I am in the weirdest demographic. I think Cole was feeling my pain a little bit, and any of the other wrestling people, because Sunday night, I've got a wrestling pay-per-view. Very important. Very important.
Arguably the most important.
The Game of Thrones season finale. And then in the middle of all this, Bethesda does their first ever press conference where I know they're showing Doom. Damn it. And
damn it, Doom.
So I was up pretty late because I ended up watching all of them back-to-back. But wrestling took precedent, apparently, just because... and it was kind of weird. I tried to figure out if wrestling gets spoiled online more than Game of Thrones, but I ended up being safe. Anyway, let's talk about Doom, because they kicked off the show with Doom. And
a lot of Doom.
That was some chunky Doom. Josh, have you talked to your Doom inside sources recently? Did you know what was going to happen?
No. So yeah, my Doom inside source never really told me much of anything about it, and then no longer works at it. So I didn't really.
Is your inside source John Carmack?
Yeah.
He's fired.
Man, it's
what?
It's fast, and it's stuff. Just you're right. It's real chunky. Still kind of looks like Doom 3, kinda.
Yeah, a little. I got that was my initial impression of that when they opened that first door. But everything looks. I mean, the guns look like they look good. They look like they feel good. It's more of the enemy designs that are a little,
yeah,
flat. But
I bet it's gonna be fun as hell because you're just gonna be strafing constantly.
Yep.
And that then cool. That's that. It's gonna play like a Doom game finally. So
yeah. I think it'll remove the stuff that made Doom 3 not fun in spots, and it should be. It looks great. So. And I really hope, like, I like the execution moves. Those definitely, there's something about a killing blow in games that I really enjoy. Just like that extra moment, whether it's, you know, cursing at people in Blood in the Sand or ripping limbs off in Doom and crushing heads like that. That was a nice bonus. The holy shit, the chainsaw had a hell of a debut. I like that whole aspect of when he's getting a new weapon, kind of ripping it out of like dead soldiers' hands or dead soldiers' bodies. That was a nice little touch. Like they're paying attention to that shit, and I got high hopes for Doom.
Having seen, like, I looked at some of the screenshots that they'd released, and when you see some of the demons getting blown up, like in freeze frame mode, you just see just how destructive those models appear to be.
Yeah.
Like it, and it looks pretty gross, but I didn't really.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked kind of chunky or whatever in the trailer or in the footage. But
I meant that in a good way. I like my jibs. Yeah. So,
but yeah, it's gory as hell, which is cool. I just hope that you can turn off the glow around the enemies when they're
ready for the highlighting when they're
executable.
Yeah, I don't like a lot of science in my Doom. I know we're like space marines and on other planets and other dimensions, but yeah, like anything like. I get what they're trying to do, but like maybe you can toggle that off at a difficulty level. Like, no, I can tell when I can rip this dude in half. I do also hope that there are executions for when you die. When that Revenant jumped on him at the end of the first section, that was unexpected.
Yeah, I did not expect that.
Ripped his arm,
just ripped both arms off.
But I wonder if that was just in there for the E3 demo, or if that'll be in the game because that was kind of cool. So, and coming off of, I just played Brutal Doom. Like I am ready for some Doom. So, I was actually surprised because my predictions got immediately shot down by this press conference because I thought Doom would be coming out this year and Fallout would be next year, and they kind of flipped that on us. So.
Yeah, it was flipped. Yeah.
But it makes sense because Doom and first person shooters like this, they aren't really the, you know, unless you've got a lot of other things to offer, like you know, Call of Duty's multiplayer or something like that, you're not really a holiday release anymore. And kind of being on its own in the spring might make sense. So,
Fallout didn't need it maybe as much as Doom did.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, because spring's going to be actually Spring might be kind of crowded, but in a different way. So.
I feel, oh man, that's the overall thing here is I feel like I have plenty of games to play. Like I can just see me, kind of see my jumping from one game to the next through next summer. And it's yeah. like, there's not a ton, I wouldn't say there's a ton of games, but I've just like, I've got enough for me. Like, and Doom will be right in there. So
how'd you feel about that, community content creation for Doom?
Whoa. That was a heads up play.
Yeah, I had no idea what that was at first. I was like, oh, it's just multiplayer, kind of horde mode looking stuff. And he's like, no, the people are making this.
And so I was kind of contrasting that with, like, and we'll talk about Mario Maker later, but just, like, how simple Mario Maker looks. And then Doom's yeah. like, no, you can get in here and just, like, program some logic for, you know, when you get this this key, these enemies will drop in and be totally Doom.
What's I'm snapping thing? For maps.
That's snap maps.
That was kind of wicked. But Cole, did Doom do anything for you?
No, I'm actually just watching the trailer right now. So right. I apparently missed it. It looks pretty cool. As long as it doesn't have like all the dumb jump scares that Doom 3 did and had to stop playing it because of it.
I didn't notice much monster closets, but I did know there are monsters that teleport in. Like that was kind of the like you'll see one and then three more will teleport in, but whatever.
That's normal. Yeah, I mean that's Doom.
Yeah.
It's always been like that. And they did cover all the enemies I was looking for. They had them in there.
They're mainly just Doom 1 enemies aside from like that Hell Knight at the end, right?
Yeah. There were invisible pinky demons.
I only saw one of those and then he blew them up. I was like I actually liked that enemy model, but I only got a brief glimpse of it.
Yeah.
I liked it because it was invisible. No, I mean, when it wasn't invisible, I'm chucking it.
By brief glimpse, you meant the outline.
Right. Yeah. Before we get into other games, I thought I was actually kind of surprised at like Bethesda's. I didn't know what their stage presence would be like. Like we've seen shit shows at Ubisoft before, and we've seen you know EA being way too corporate and boring and just having no personality. But they really hit like. The middle of the road. It wasn't. They didn't go over the top with anything, but they didn't do anything wrong either. It was just kind of solid.
Like, yeah, I think it was very solid. They kind of owned the stage and they knew what people wanted to see, and it felt right.
Yeah.
And they dumped a yeah. No, well, I won't again jump ahead, but
they dumped. Ahead. What's up?
Well, they dumped a game. Like I'm always saying, like I always want E3 press conferences. Like everybody needs to say, like, and it's available right now, like on everything. You know, so if it's one thing, I'll take that. But and I haven't played it yet. But saying like, here's Fallout Shelter, this little Fallout or shelter management game, here it's out literally right now. God, like, oh
that
shit,
I was playing it during the rest of that press conference. So, that's exactly what we expected Todd Howard to do, right? Like, come out and talk about mobile games and release one. And oh man, that game's perfect. How's your shelter doing, Aaron?
My shelter's holding up. I had a few brief moments, and I like the way that they program this, that if you don't play it for a while, it kind of pauses itself. I read that somewhere, and it seems to be true.
If you close it.
If you close it. Okay, yeah, so every now and then, I'll forget. I'll send the person out to the wasteland, check back 5 hours later. Oops, that guy is dead.
Poor bastard.
I came back once, and my water production or my water treatment plant was like shut down, and everyone was getting radiation poisoning. Yep. And I was like, I don't know if I want to play this anymore, but I fixed it, and so now I'm happy again. But I was really excited when I was reading through. I had no idea Bethesda was talking Sunday, and I started reading through the notes. I'm like, oh, Fallout Shelter, that's kind of cool. Out now, and I immediately had to like delete every other game off my
phone. Did you spit take? Because I almost did it, Uriah.
You almost spit take. I got way too excited over something that I thought, you know, all my energy would be towards Fallout 4, but heck, here's a little mobile game, and I'm like, oh shit, I can play it now.
Dude, it's totally getting me into, like, it's been a while since I've been into the Fallout universe, like, and just, it's kind of like getting me in that mindset of...
It's doing its job, it's getting me ready.
Yeah, so there's a glitch, basically, if you don't close the app, they may have fixed it by now, but, like, if you just, like, shut the screen on your iPad... and kind of leave the game running, it like runs like you're actively playing it. So I shut it like 8 o'clock in the morning. I had like 92% happiness out of all my dwellers, and I open it back up at 4 p.m. and like it's at 12% happiness and everybody everybody is half radiated and I have no resources and it's just like, holy shit, this game's impossible. I can't pay attention to it every half hour. But yeah, if you actually like physically close the application, it does go into a more of an idle state. And
I was scared at first. I was like, how am I supposed to take care of stuff overnight? There's no way I'm waking up every hour while I'm sleeping.
And it's, I just think the graphics are great. The little pseudo 3D stuff they have going on.
Yeah, it works. It's pretty cool.
It's beautiful. So, not on our list, but we should talk about it, guys. Fallout 4.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of Fallout 4?
What did you think? I'm hyped. So,
I'm gonna play it.
Yeah, it came across as more Fallout. So, which I want, but it doesn't have that. It doesn't have that one exciting feature. Like building bases isn't
it's like a gravy layer to Fallout, really. Like it's gonna play like 3 in New Vegas most likely, but now you build stuff.
But I love I love 3. It finally, that's what broke me into Bethesda games. So like it's got a special place in my heart. So
I mean, for me it's like, and this is maybe not a fault of Fallout necessarily, but it's like Dragon Age, The Witcher, and now potentially Fallout. It just is, for me personally, it's just like, oh God, that's another huge game that I might be finding myself diving deep in.
It's not Fallout's fault.
That's what I said. It's not Fallout's fault, but it's just like, oh, it didn't get me as hyped as I thought it should have.
What you should be worried about is Fallout comes out in November and Just Cause 3 comes out in December. So we're going to do Games of the Year in March.
Yeah, geez.
In the summer.
Yeah, Josh, you don't look too hyped about a Fallout kind
of. It's gonna be amazing, and everyone's gonna love it.
Shaking my head.
Sure, but I don't know. I just it's more Fallout, and I just don't know if I want more Fallout. Right. I mean, I'll play it because it looks really good, but they're like, yeah, Fallout 4, look how big and awesome and amazing it is. I'm like, man, I can't wait till you put all the stuff in the next Elder Scrolls game.
Oh, but I
just prefer swords and sandals or sorcery or whatever to the post-apocalypse where everything's freaking brown.
So would you
everything is brown in this game.
Are you ready for another Elder Scrolls game right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, because I almost looked at it like I like their setup, like the wait that we have in between those games kind of keeps everything feeling fresh. And I feel like it's been long enough since Fallout. I didn't play New Vegas. So, and then like by the time I'm through this, they'll be talking about the next Elder Scrolls. So I kind of like their release cycle versus some of the alternatives out there. But that's fair.
I don't know. I wish they just take one of the epic scope and all the amazing systems and everything they built for this game and just slap it into a completely different setting. That's sure. It's just the setting is because everything about the actual game is going to be super fun, and I just kind of tired of the wasteland, but at least they're letting me build it back up in this one. Can I plant trees?
I don't know.
Is that a thing?
Do they have speed tree?
You can't pick flowers.
Cole,
I'm sad about that.
What else what else from this press conference are you excited about? It's the only thing in your notes.
Dishonored.
Dishonored 2.
Yeah. I actually didn't even watch the trailer for it. Just know that it's coming out, and I'm excited. So I have
to
have Aaron tell me what's in the trailer.
Oh my god, that trailer! Like that was the other thing. Other than giving me a free mobile game day of press conference, Dishonored 2's trailer. I've got a friend who didn't really get into Dishonored, and we talked about like stealth and how the game like, gives you the freedom, but you're still like sneaking around. Dishonored 2 looks pretty damn amazing because you got a lot of powers in one, but you never really knew how to use them. I just practically like teleported everywhere and then killed people. But Dishonored 2, you get to play as, I think her name is Emily from the first game, and she was just like tentacle whipping her all over the place.
Whoa.
And
whoa.
And so it's got a real hentai vibe apparently now. But she just looked really badass. That trailer was really good. And it wasn't gameplay footage, but it got me excited about the potential of playing as different characters with maybe different powers that could approach the same scenarios. I don't know if they're going to let you switch characters, but it might mix it up a little bit more than being, I think his name was Corvo in the first game, and just be teleporting through every level.
Yeah, I'm glad that, I mean, this wasn't a huge surprise. I felt like this was kind of inevitable, but it's kind of nice to see it confirmed. And
basically.
You know, and then you start, because like when Bethesda says, hey, we're going to have a press conference, I was like, well, how many games you got? You know, like, you got Doom, you got Fallout. Well, so they're continuing to kind of build everything out. And, you know, they've still got Machine Games, the Wolfenstein guys out there, and they've got some options. It'll, but yeah, I'm excited for Dishonored 2. No idea. Like, I don't even think that, I guess that's a next year game, but wouldn't be surprised to see that pushed into 2017. Well, when you're not going to show gameplay and that kind of stuff, so.
Yeah, it was just cinematics, right? They didn't actually.
Yeah, it was just a cinematic trailer.
Right, which, you know, whatever. But it'd be cool if maybe they put in some two-player co-op.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Corvo and Emily, yeah. Right? Yeah, that'd be kind of neat.
You got two characters who can do stuff now, so.
What was that tentacle thing? What was that?
It was like a weird kind of grapple. She used it, I think, occasionally to attack enemies, but other times she would whip across the room. So I guess it's like her teleport, but it was also more of an offensive maneuver. Well,
What was it, technology or magic, or what the fuck was it?
It looks like a demon or something. It doesn't even look, it looks organic. It doesn't look technology.
Yeah, so Dishonored's.
She's letting the demon out?
Yeah, she's letting the demon out. Dishonored's backstory has this kind of spirit realm where people get weird kind of powers. And essentially, I think that's where that would come from. That's how Corvo got his powers.
This was like the first, and this was on like Sunday, right? So this was like the first taste of a kind of a running theme throughout the week, which was. Anime bullshit. so like, was that a tentacle? Man, that's real weird in anime. And
Dishonored
anyway.
2, Spirit Tentacles.
Yeah.
Got it. As far as things that may have been in here or stuff that didn't hit me the right way, I Battle Cries just seems like such an also-ran. Everybody seems to want to have their little multiplayer, like their little multiplayer game that isn't a MOBA, but is a MOBA, and they're all MOBA clones, or they're all Team Fortress clones. Like, everybody needs to have their own, and it's like, we're not going to buy all those hats. So Battlecry didn't do anything for me. And then I was just kind of wanted to see, like, I don't know, what's going on? What are you doing with Prey? Is Prey completely dead? Like, I know Prey 2's dead, but, like, somebody's working on something Prey, and
they didn't mention Prey at all, did they?
Right. No. So I kind of thought we might see something there, but
during Sony's conference, not to get ahead of ourselves, but I thought of Prey during a certain game.
Oh, nice. But I thought it was a cool debut for Bethesda, and I hope they kind of keep that up, because and it got me thinking. I kind of want 2K to do their own thing too. I kind of like these publisher showcases if we're going to have them all, just because I think what it'll do is show EA how terrible they are, and maybe they'll improve their shit. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, no.
So that was Sunday night. Monday kicked off with Microsoft's press conference, and you know, overall, like, not many highs, not many lows for Microsoft. They were just kind of just doing their thing. They focused on games, which, you know, from previous Microsoft press conferences was refreshing. But nothing really jumped off the screen to me. I got excited about their new shit. I think ReCore was a nice surprise from them. So that's from it's ex retro guys with Inafune. Mr. Mega Man.
What is the actual game?
Who knows?
No idea.
That was not a gameplay trailer, but it was robot brain spheres that they made it. The character had a robot dog, and it made me care about the dog. And then the dog died, but his AI his AI is a little brain sphere glowy thing that she can put in another robot. So you're gonna, like, just move this companion around that you really care about to bigger and bigger robots. That's what.
Not all dogs go to heaven.
No, robot dogs.
Some of them never get the chance. So that's going to be the end of the game. Is you're like, you've dogs gone through like 100 different bodies, and finally you're like, it's a little soul thing. It just wants peace, and you just take it and you crush it in your hands while you cry.
To roll credits.
It's some anime bullshit right there.
Aaron, Microsoft, what's it out?
So. Recently, we've talked about on other podcasts, I've got a PlayStation 4, so if there's a press conference that I'm not really paying much attention to. It's Microsoft right now.
Boom.
Boom. But I really liked Gears on the Xbox 360, and there's going to be Gears 4. So on the one hand, they lied because they did 1, 2, 3, made Judgment, which wasn't that great, and then they're like, Gears is kind of done for now, but now here's 4. So Gears will never die. It's their other Halo.
Man, it's so weird with them like kind of buying it from Epic and setting up this new studio. Instead of Black Tusk, and before Black Tusk releases a game, they change the name of the company of the Coalition because that branding matters for some reason.
Right. And no one gives a shit about that.
Yeah. I was like, who's Coalition?
I paid attention to dumb details like that, but yeah, it was like, oh yeah, the cool Coalition, that's a better name than Black Tusk. But so yeah, Gears 4, what I remember about that trailer is it looks dark.
yeah.
It had kind of the horror vibe of those first Gears levels with the real fast guys that would run up walls and that kind of shit, which is interesting because I can't remember. Is that what I liked about Gears? Like, yes and no. But and then they had like glowy tentacle shit all through this little this castle because they're trying to get shelter from a tornado. And then a big dog thing with Resident Evil 4 tentacles in his mouth tried to attack.
A lot of tentacles.
Yeah, so there's a tie-in with Umbrella, obviously. Nobody was wearing do-rags. It was a guy and a girl, and the girl actually looked like a girl and not like, you know.
You have to pay for do-rags.
That's the DLC that will be coming inevitably.
Looks
good.
Yes, yes. But, and I will play more Gears, but it just like.
We'll play it.
Give me a reason to care about it more than Judgment right now. So
13-hour horde mode, guys, in the future. Let's do it.
Yes.
That's the best part.
That's. Like, I will absolutely, I mean, at some point, like, I'm getting closer and closer to the X-Bone purchase. And I just need, like, just enough, you know, like Halo 5, Gears, you know, Gears 4. Like, you know, I'm not going to be able to hold off.
Yep.
But you know what would have maybe helped is if they said that Gears of War Ultimate Edition was all three games and not just one.
Why would you do
that? Yeah, that's weird.
Why?
The fuck?
Like...
No one does that. That's not how. That's not how these remakes work.
No,
don't you know these up-res things? Like, what the hell?
I mean, they do. They do have 2 and 3 in that, or no? It's just 1 and 2 in that package they released for 360.
Yeah, but I mean, give me. You're gonna give me Gears 1. I can't play Horde mode. Like, unless you're gonna add like.
Yeah.
And it's just like I don't feel like there was the way they kind of went to sleep on Gears. There wasn't like an urge. You don't need to tease it with this. Like, take the time and make the other two. Like, it can't be. It can't be that hard if you're making one. Like, just finish the job. Finish the fight.
Finish the fight.
Do your job. Finish the fight.
I think Gears is fine. Halo's fine. It's like, yeah, these will be Xbox One games I will buy. But as far as the Xbox One, like, reasons to buy it and kind of the future of it, I thought they did some smart moves with they're leaning into their Windows 10 shit. And they actually had...
Yeah.
Todd Howard from Bethesda come out and kind of talk about mods for Fallout 4 and just how that works from Windows 10, and like they're not shying away from PC gamers. They're you know, they're not like embracing it or like saying that's where you should start is on Windows 10, but like they seem to like they're no longer pretending like PC doesn't exist, and I think that's a smart move for them because that's definitely an edge they have on Sony is if they can get all that stuff working. And, you know, the same way with, you know, kind of they've already announced they're partnering with Oculus and they're partnering with Valve on their VR as well. And so that kind of solves like, oh, you're not really doing any virtual reality stuff. It was like, well, it all works, you know, with our stuff already. And so here's HoloLens. Josh, what do you think about HoloLens?
That looked... fucking incredible.
And how was that real?
I mean, apparently it wasn't bullshit. I mean,
I know that's what I'm saying. Like, how was there no mistakes or breakage in the?
And I don't know. You know, maybe there was a little bit of magic they did to make it look better than it normally would, or whatever. But just like that was actually, and they demoed it in a way you could never demo the VR stuff. That was a thing. It was like, oh, like you could look at it and go like. Here's the shot with the dude standing there. There's nothing. And then here's the view through the, you know. And I liked it. It wasn't through the guy's eyes. They had like strapped this thing onto a camera, and then they showed the camera, and they were like, "Yeah, so
that cracks me up."
Strapped together some bullshit with duct tape.
Because you think of all this R&D that's gone into the HoloLens itself, and then there's like, okay, and they assign this small team, like, you need to figure out how we can show that on a camera, and it's just. And
the like, let's just put the thing in front, on the front of the thing.
Put it on the camera.
Fuck, that looked crazy. That looked so just crazy. Absolutely crazy. Like, is it? It didn't look jumpy,
no,
you know, or anything. Yeah. It tracked perfectly to the table at all times. It was like, so they showed, if anybody didn't see it, like it was showed like Minecraft world in three dimensions on this big table. But like, so being able to just kind of like look around your creations or whatever, that's kind of neat. But like, what if there's like all kinds of other, you know, all the implications, you know, it's like, yeah, you could do AR games. Like I know they're showing the demo where people were walking around down like real world hallways and they were seeing like Halo shit. So whatever, like waypoints, sending them to down, you know, whatever. And then they were like standing around a table listening to Cortana or something. I don't know. Anyways, but you know, like, I mean, so what about like, for like, you know, esports stuff like commentary, like what if you have a map of Counter-Strike or League of Legends or Dota or whatever from the top down and you could like get your head down in there and zoom around on the battlefield and stuff while you're doing commentary, like that, would that be sweet?
That would be awesome.
Like I think like this VR is going to be awesome. I'm going to buy, you know, an Oculus or whatever, and I'm going to play the shit out of that, you know, flying spaceships or whatever, shoot people with shotguns in a wheelchair, whatever it is. That was a real demo. I'm not just making that show. So, but like this is like, wait a minute. Like what? This is like the real dream of like, you know, car rides are boring. So what if you put on these glasses and the other cars are like some Mad Max contraptions and these people and the people trying to kill you, and so you have your little fake gun and you're like shooting people and cars that are real but they're not real in your game, and you know, like
that would be weird from the other perspective, driving by a car and seeing some kid just trying to shoot you.
Just like all these things, everyone's gonna look real fucking stupid from the other side. But still, like that, you know, those are the, I don't know,
I thought they could
make everything more fun. Pooping, riding in a car, riding your bicycle, walking to the store, whatever it is.
It all,
everything's more exciting with augmented reality.
It all begins and ends with pooping.
With pooping.
I think they've done a really good job at showing this off in multiple events and not like, they're not making this, hey, this, we made this for gaming. And it's just like, but no, this will be fun with games. There'll be all kinds of crazy shit you can do with it, but it's like, it's also not its primary purpose. And I think they've showed this off really well, and they haven't, you know, I feel like they didn't do their, like the way they kind of blew out Kinect and kind of overhyped it. They're being a little bit more laid back with HoloLens, and I think it's been effective. So kind of cool.
Yeah.
We also kind of saw the return of Rare. I got pretty excited about their Rare Replay collection because I can finally play some Blast Corps.
oh yeah.
And so 30 games, $30. The Blast Corps RC Pro-Am, the Viva Pinatas, and Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts were my those were my standouts for
Nuts and Bolts.
Nuts and Bolts is great.
Oh man. It's not Kazooie or Tooie.
I've already played Kazooie on Xbox Live Arcade recently, so I think that's why I'm most hyped. But Josh, Rare had another game.
Oh shit, man, that looked good. Sea of Thieves. It's like what MMO, I guess.
I don't know.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
What is it?
It looks like had players' names above their heads.
Like it's like a co-op MMO or something.
Free to play. Yeah, and it's like you're like multi-crewing ships, like pirate ships, like big ones, with like big galleons or whatever, and like with guns and shit. And there's other players on their own boats, ships. Sorry, there aren't boats. Yeah, and then like you can stop on an island and you can go adventuring and go find treasure and where. And it looks it like aesthetically, it looks really cool. I don't know, it's kind of Rare-y.
Yeah.
Rare-y.
I like that. I like the look of their, you know, their characters and stuff though.
I like pirate shit. It's just fun. And then this look, you know, it's like Rare is doing a free to play multiplayer pirate game. Like, okay. But then they showed it. Like, you actually, it was some bullshit trailer or something. Like, no, here's like, this is what the game looks like, or supposedly.
So it's like a more hardcore Black Flag, but multiplayer online.
I was going to say accessible, yes. Black Flag.
Accessible?
Accessible, but more hardcore, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But yeah, it looked great. Like, and the, I thought the water effects looked really good and stuff. Yep. Like, it just, everything about that just got me super pumped. And I was like, there are no flaws with this so far.
I just like that somebody, like,
top my list, top
somebody
my list.
At Microsoft said, hey, Rare, you can make something new. Like, we're going to let you stop working on those avatars.
It's like when, like, yeah, Rare's been like, the bonds are broken. Like, what are they? Are we all going, is the world going to end? Like, yeah. We're all going to die, swallow our souls.
Rare's back.
Those can make maybe, hopefully, like a really good fucking video game. So,
and what did you want to say about Fable Legends, Aaron?
What the fuck is Fable Legends? I watched that trailer, and I have no idea what that game is. And I put it on here as like a low of the Microsoft stuff because I've played Fable, Fable 2, and Fable 3.
I'm sorry.
And yes, I hope you're sorry about Fable 3 because Fable 3 is not one of my favorite games ever.
Right.
And so I'm very confused about how Fable continues to be a thing, and I don't know what this game is.
It's their MOBA, right?
Isn't it just fairy tale bullshit?
It looked like fairy tale bullshit. There's a bunch of like four players running around. You could see like big people in the background. I had no idea what
Cersei
the game
Lannister
was
is involved now.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think it's her body double.
Maybe it's Fable. Maybe it's Fable colon Gauntlet.
It looked like that's all it would
Fable
be.
Fable colon Gauntlet Legends.
Yeah,
like I'll play that.
Always wanted to go through a colon gauntlet. It's the best four-player game I've ever played.
It's probably going to feel like a colon gauntlet. It just seems like a way to keep Fable relevant and around.
Yeah.
And eat quarters and everything else.
Not too. Make it better.
Don't forget they threw the Fable name at that Kinect game, too. So it's just like, yeah. I don't know what to make of that. Of it's just Microsoft's default fantasy franchise. And
I kind of think they should just let it die or make it better.
It just looks like I said, everybody has their group multiplayer game, and I don't know. This looks like their kind of mobile ripoff, and they're kind of building the whole cross multiplayer between Windows 10 and Xbox One. So, I hope they get that shit sorted out because that would be fun across on other games that I would play.
That aspect seems good, but
and then. Their kind of showstopper announcement was backwards compatibility. Kind of curious what you,
oh,
guys
you blew this.
Think of it. Huh?
You blew that. You blew that. I didn't know you were going to segue into that. I was going to say, how about the big announcement that Red Dead Redemption on Xbox One?
Oh, nice.
Like,
you finally got it.
I don't know. I'm cool on this stuff. I realize I'm not the audience for it because I already own both consoles and obviously didn't need that as a selling point. But I've also given up on backwards compatibility because it just, I don't know.
Point, yeah.
I've gotten by to this point and I never really used it on previous consoles like all that much. And then it's a weird announcement, but they got to move hardware. So I'm sure it's. Hitting some Xbox 360 fans in the right way, but you know they did this with the Xbox 360, and they just had like this limited list of backwards compatible games, mm-hmm. and then they gave up on it. And I just their track record. This is where my trust level of them is not very high. So it's just like I get it's easy to be excited about this announcement, but I don't think it'll have the impact that people think it will because you don't want backwards compatibility as much as you think you do.
Well, I think this one will be a lot more popular than the Xbox to the Xbox 360. Like, I mean, how many great games did the Xbox have that you'd want to play over and over again?
You say Riddick?
Yeah, that was it.
What was that one shitty game we played at our marathon? That was the Xbox game.
Hunter the Reckoning?
Hunter the Reckoning.
Oh, man.
The first game to put me to sleep.
For every one of those, though, there's a Metal Wolf Chaos. You know what I mean? Like, there's some awesome bullshit. That's the one where you're the president, and then like the vice president comes and takes you, and you get your anime bullshit robot suit, and then you fly out from underneath the White House, and you blow up tanks. Anyways, yeah.
Maybe I'm just bitter because I already bought like 75% of my games on Steam. like of like all my 360 games. Like the only stuff I'm really excited about are those kind of Xbox Live Arcade exclusives, and if they can come up, like those feel a little bit lost in the ether. But
yeah, well, it seems like they're doing that too with like Super Meat Boy and stuff is on the preview list, so hopefully a Shadow Complex will come over and
I'm curious.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
It's on the. There's a screenshot I've got, and it shows Shadow Complex on there. You can see the box of it. So,
and even Braid shit. I'd like to play that again on my Xbox.
How about Dragon's Dogma?
Yeah,
Mr. Dave.
Yeah, Mr. Dave coming back on Xbox One.
Can I play that after
this fall?
Can I play that after Witcher now? I don't know.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough thing. I think you can. That game's goofy.
All right. Let's move on to EA.
Wait, one more. What? Sorry. Controller.
The Elite.
The ridiculous controller.
$50.
$150, right?
$150 pro gamer controller.
My favorite part of it though was like kind of like people that don't know. I got a few reactions from people that don't really know that pro controllers are out there. Like because Microsoft announced it, they thought it was like almost, you know, that it was for them. You know, it was for like the regular gamer. Like, man, why would I buy a $150 controller? And I was like, just don't worry about it. Like, you don't need any of this stuff. But because Microsoft announcement, you're now paying attention to this certain level of peripheral that's been around that doesn't matter to you, and now you kind of think you need to get one. I was like, I'll be curious to see who ends up with it. That D-pad looked weird, though.
That D-pad looks so dumb. But there's the one they show in the, like, up on stage, whatever, they're going to have different ones. You don't have to use that one.
Yeah.
You can swap out, like, everything, so.
So can you swap you can't swap to make it look like a PlayStation controller. You can't move the left analog,
the touchpad on it.
That's Razer version of this that's going to come out for $200 following.
Oh, no.
Right. On to EA, just because they technically had an event and we should probably talk about it, but holy shit, most underwhelming and most out of touch press conference for me. Just like, I don't even know who the fuck they're talking to. But maybe you guys have more positive things to say. I don't know. People seem excited about. First of all, how long before we talk about Battlefront? We got at least like 7 minutes. In 7 minutes, we're going to talk about Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Mass Effect first, because they started the show with that. I kind of talked in our Slack channel a little bit about this trailer. I don't know why people are excited about this trailer, because the news that this game existed before this. And
that's what I thought.
They showed nothing new. The new thing is the name. Mass Effect Andromeda, going to a new universe, okay. Not that I don't get excited about BioWare games, especially coming off of Dragon Age Inquisition and them saying that, hey, this is kind of a template for maybe where Mass Effect might go. I'm excited about it, but there's nothing to be excited about. You haven't given me anything yet.
Right.
Am I wrong?
I agree with that, totally.
Okay.
You're wrong.
Yay!
You're wrong. There's no Garrus.
We only agree on our wrestling podcast. We disagree on all
the game
podcasts.
Yeah, why do you need to know all that shit right now? It's going to come.
Yes.
Like, why do you need to be excited right now?
This was the trailer that I got annoyed at people getting super excited about. Because I was like, what? It wasn't giving you anything.
But not everybody knew that there's going to be a Mass Effect game.
That's
or that
true.
There's one in development. You got to look at it like.
But these were like from hardcore Mass Effect fans.
Well, maybe they're not as hardcore news gathering fans.
I guess. I was like,
you got to put it on a platter for them.
It was just such a cop out of like, yep. I guess we need to show Mass Effect, but how do we show it without showing anything?
Colors, and they were told to cheer. They were casted to cheer.
Yeah. They had guns to their heads.
Yeah. I'm stoked for a new Mass Effect, but the trailer did jack shit.
The one thing from this that I got, which actually I thought like, okay, cool, is they're just going somewhere else.
Yep.
Like, it's
different galaxy.
That's good,
it's like hundreds of years in the future. It's a completely different galaxy, different characters, different everything.
It is in the future?
Yeah. So,
although I'm not sure time even matters anymore in that universe.
How does time matter?
Well, right. But like, great. I like the Mass Effect games. Yeah. Give me a completely new setting and characters and everything.
Yeah, let's start over. New aliens, new everything.
Yep. Exactly.
All these ideas sound great. Yeah. all the conjecture we've made from the trailer. Sounds great.
So this is no Shepard.
Right.
Maybe not Shepard.
Maybe he's a brain sphere, like in the Recore game, and they're going to put him into something else.
It's parallel universe, Shepard.
It's not a new universe.
It's a parallel universe.
Could be a family member, you know.
Oh yeah, that's true.
They could go down the Belmont train and just keep using
Shepard's forever.
Okay.
They gathered around. Okay, how do we take new Mass Effect? What franchises have really just continued their legacy on the best and that we can emulate? I think Castlevania has handled their lineages very well. So let's go with that.
There's always a Shepard, a Citadel, and then a world ending.
Yeah. Yep.
BioShock. Well,
what else did EA show that you're excited about, Aaron?
They showed, which I already knew was coming, but Mirror's Edge Catalyst, which is like a pre-sequel, but kind of like a remake of Mirror's Edge rather than being a sequel to it.
I like how they don't know what to call it.
I don't know how to even describe what they said that this game is.
We're making it again.
It's a time before she knew how to use the guns.
Yeah, so she can't use guns at all. But she can run around kind of an open worldish hub and do things. And
the open world was a big thing. Yeah,
yeah, that was news to me. So just parkour nonstop forever.
Like, not to be a graphics guy, but it was kind of like maybe it's been so long since I looked at Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge.
The graphics didn't have the leap that I expected for some
That's
reason.
That's the hard part, I guess, to get. Because otherwise,
it's so stylized, maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's so stylized. It's all the colors, a lot of white, and then everything's just shiny.
Because that world has the potential to just be gorgeous, and it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't have it for me. But I kind of said too. I was like, I'm super excited for this, and everybody seems super super excited for this, and was like, but no, nobody's gonna buy it. Like, it's still gonna be the same old story.
Like, that's the sad part about it.
Like, you know, EA had a couple of these moments of, like, I don't know, trying to be a little bit more human of a company, like, between this and, like, the endearing and awkward Unravel.
that was bad.
Debut of, like, these are their two, like, reach out to the fans types of moments. And it's like, they need to do more of this, but these two aren't actually going to have the big splashes that they expect either, I don't think.
Yeah, you can see that coming a mile away.
But I can't wait to play Mirror's Edge. So
I'm excited, though.
One of the weird things they announced that I was actually excited about, I thought was really cool, because I always look for, like, I want to see what innovations they're doing with their sports stuff, because they don't really do very much. And the one little thing they did do that looks like it's across all their sports games is that there will be kind of these, like, contextual hints that'll pop up above your player and, like, to tell you things that you can do right now. Like, you know, if you want to, like, be able to do, like, a slap shot in the corner, or I don't know, just reminds you to juke and
juke
Madden
more.
Or something. But, like, when you're first playing this game or coming back to it and you don't remember all the little nuances of all the little complicated controls they have, like, it's giving you kind of, like, button hints. Like, and it's not gonna, like, you know, make you score every time or save the day, but it's, like, kind of just reminding you of these other moves you can do. And I, for someone that, like, bounces in and out of these games every couple years, that seemed really useful. And I hadn't seen something really useful from them in a while, so that was nice.
I think it's so dumb that the games have gotten so complicated.
Yeah.
That you have to have, like, there's so much bullshit in this game that you have no idea. The average person has no clue what to do in these situations. Like, well, there's 40 different options at any given moment for your player to do. So we're going to put up some prompts to kind of let you know, some signs to point you in a direction. Like, man, just make video games again. God, these sport simulations are bad. I know people love their FIFA or their Madden or their whatever, and that's cool, man. But
hey, speaking of FIFA. That led to about the, like, coolest and most boring and out of place moment in all of the press conferences. It's like having some dramatic conversation, or not conversation, having some dramatic storytelling by Pele in the middle of this press conference. Like,
sells a video game.
Holy shit. I don't, they didn't really even tie it in with, like, whatever they did with FIFA. And like, it was like, at first I was thinking like, oh, they don't want to say FIFA because of all the controversial shit that's going on with them. So they're just going to bring Pele out and kind of just talk about, you know, about football and not really ever say the name FIFA. And then they jumped right into FIFA right after it. So it was just like, this was just the most out of place thing that could have had an audience like really get into it. But it's like, it's not E3. Like, and that was just more of my moment of like, man, EA, you don't know who the fuck you're talking to or what you're saying. And it's just, it's getting bad. It's getting bad, EA.
So I have this dream where like next year's games, the FIFA name just is like, they really just don't want to be associated with it at all. So they have to like, they end the relationship or they do something about that. And then like John Madden, there's like some like sex scandal news gets out or something, right? And so they got to drop that name too. And so they call both of these games Football 17, just with different spellings.
Different spellings.
Yeah. And I'm just going to go on release day. I'm just going to go hang out on GameStop like this. And I'm going to, I'm just watching.
One copy of Football 17.
Yep.
Yep. Which one?
No, the other one.
No, the first one. Give me both.
It looks like you got another low here, Aaron. I'm guessing that's a low.
It's kind of a low. I'm not really that low about it, but as a somewhat avid Hearthstone player, there was a lot of card game news popping up in random places during E3. And for some reason, Star Wars needs its own card game, Galaxy of Heroes. They hardly talked about it. They're like, you like Star Wars, and apparently you like card games, we guess. So here's the thing that we're making for you. And I'm like, I'm not going to get into...
That's kind of the Star Wars thing, though. Yeah. Like, and it's kind of hit or miss. It's just like, they find a successful system and, okay, well, we need to do the Star Wars version of that. And I don't know. I've kind of accepted that because sometimes they get it right because...
It could be fine.
Are we all on... It's now 5 seconds before we talk about Star Wars Battlefront. Are we all on the Star Wars Battlefront hype train?
Yeah.
I see a lot of nodding heads. Yes. Josh, sure. take it away. Like why? What's going on?
Okay, so I like Star Wars.
Okay,
and I like Battlefield. You know, now so did you guys play Battlefront 1 and 2?
I did not.
I didn't really. Yeah.
So they weren't very good. don't listen to other people. So they weren't great games. Like they tried to follow a formula. Like you would have in, say, a Battlefield game, and they just were kind of hot trash. But it was like, but it's Star Wars, and so you get to play as a stormtrooper, and you get to fly these spaceships, and you get to ride in these things, and speeder bikes, and all this stuff. It's like it checked off, you know, all the boxes, but they were just super jank, like more jank than normal jank. And this actually looks like a real video game, and... It looks pretty fun. Like all the gameplay stuff they've shown looks like it will be fun to play. It's once we get in there, I still want to wait and actually play beta or something, or wait for someone's hands-on impressions like from the actual game, because you know, you never know when all the little, it's like if they put too much Battlefield in there, you start to break Star Wars. It's like if all your lasers are dead in the center of your crosshair and you have a health bar that goes down too slow, like the, you know, or something, like you can get these two things that fight each other. Cause Battlefront was way more like eat away at guys or whatever. And then like Battlefield, you know, just popping dudes in the head. And it sounds like it goes a little more Battlefield in that way. But you know, maybe if they could counter it with the accuracy of like, you know, these, you know, it's Star Wars, nobody hits shit. and that'll be okay. Disappointed that you can't take the ships up into space, but then the sections they showed where like the X-Wings and the TIEs are flying around Hoth, like that looked cool, but you never know when they take little slices, and it's like what you didn't see was immediately after they cut, the ship turned around because it hit the edge of the map. Like, I don't know. There's a lot. Yeah, like they did a really good job in that presentation, but like it still could have too much, you know, of like the limitations of a Battlefield or something in there. I don't know. Like those things are tough. And then, so here's a weird thing. There's power-ups all over the maps. That's how you get like an airstrike or get into an X-Wing. You don't hang out in the hangar and jump in one. You go find a little spinning Rebel or Imperial icon that's a power-up, and you pick it up and you get it. And that's weird. That's
very weird.
But it's video gamey, and maybe I don't give a shit. But I don't know. So, yeah, I'm hyped, and then I'm also kind of like, wait and see.
So what are we – do you just want it to be better than the – are you going to be happy if it's just better than the regular, the original Battlefront?
Probably, because I'm a Star Wars nerd, so –
And yeah, I just I don't know how it all comes together, but I'm excited by the promise of it, and it's a world I haven't gotten into in a while, and I'm definitely gonna play it. So
it's got like a horde mode, and you can play as Rodians, so all good.
Let's move on to Ubisoft. Holy shit. Just think of how bad these Ubisoft press conferences used to be. Like how weird they used to be. And coming off of the year where everything they released was broken except for Far Cry 4. and I got some serious trust issues with Ubisoft, but I was feeling pretty good at the end of this press conference for kind of the press conference that is just like, you know, the third out of four in a very long press conference day. This was the strongest Ubisoft press conference I've seen in a while. Maybe because I'm so hyped for The Division, and like it, regardless of their track record and everything that says that could go wrong, and then also even looking at like it's a loot game that I'm comparing to Destiny, like and looking at like my disappointment with that game, I'm setting myself up, man. But
they've delayed it.
That Division. Okay, that
There's no way that game is good.
Yeah.
No way.
But what I've seen looks pretty fucking good, because I thought like that gameplay thing was fine. It was just more of what we've seen in The Division, and like Ubisoft's just weird like banter that goes on in their multiplayer game demos. It's
the funniest skit I've ever seen of all the press conferences. How intense of a character this Megan is, that she's like, I got this loot. We got to keep every few seconds she's saying the word loot in some different context.
The fakest thing about that whole thing is they never talked over each other.
Yeah, they weren't. They're always one after the other.
And then it had like this beautifully scripted ending that I think was pulled off with the effectiveness of a beautifully scripted WWE ending, and that it kind of fell a little flat. But when I was looking back on it, I was like, "Oh, that was awesome!" Because it was like, so they do this mission, and they like, you know, they see the AI enemies, and they're like, "Okay, can we do this?" And then two other players show up out of the blue, and then it's very much like, I think will be a key thing in The Division is, can you trust anyone? Because these two people are like, "Oh man, are they going to attack us and then try to get the loot, or oh no, they're going right in, let's all join together." So we've got six people fighting these guys, and then they call in for they kill the AI guys, get the loot, and they start having this conversation where it's like, oh, I wonder what loot they got, and they call in like the helicopter to kind of to evacuate, and while they're waiting on that to arrive, the four players decide to turn on those two other guys to get their loot, and they get their loot, and then they're all kind of talking, and then one of the people in the group goes dark and kills the rest of them. And it was just like everybody turns on everybody. And I thought that was really cool to see play out. But it was also didn't really come across what was going on. But
so that was real dumb. And here's so that guy there, it was real obvious that these people had played together, right? Like these are Megan's real life friends.
Yes.
So
of course.
So there, this guy, like, you know, he turns on, like, what are you doing, Abigail? And then, like, you see, like, the evac chopper or whatever comes in, and then you see just, like, as the camera pulls back, because it's a Ubisoft game, the last guy runs off of the side of, like, the screen or whatever. And then, you know, fades out or whatever. And what doesn't show you is, like, that guy, then he, like, runs, he's running away, and then, like, everyone is yelling at him.
Yeah.
Like, you, they're saying, like, all kinds of things I don't want to say on here.
No, they turn off their mics. Like,
and then he gets unfriended, and then he gets reported.
They trash his house for real.
Yeah, right. And then he gets somebody posts his details like up on Twitter and stuff.
He gets swatted.
And he gets swatted. Like that, you don't do that to your friend. Like, okay, sure, you know, you happens to a like a stranger or something. But then I would never play that game. with random people ever because of that. It's like, no way. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't group with them at least. You know, I mean, you're gonna obviously if you run into them in the world, whatever. But
I feel like we're over evaluating this WWE ending. But
that's what we do.
Yeah, what kind of a real friend would go dark and then kill all of the people he actually knows, and then that's the end of that? Like, as a skit, I think it works, but in real life, I mean, they're going to talk again, and they're going to be pissed.
In the moment.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Like, can you just trade the stuff? Can you just go, like,
yeah, just give it back?
The stuff back or whatever?
Like, I thought the same thing. I'm like, I could play this game with Justin or something, and then, like, for giggles, I kill him. I take his loot. He's mad. I'm like, I'm just playing. I give him the stuff back, and then we continue on normal. But, like, for real, I don't keep his stuff.
I want you to change your PSN name to For Giggles.
For Giggles. I will.
They don't let you do that.
For money.
I don't know. I'm still excited about it, but yeah, I don't know how that all comes together. So, lots of other stuff to talk about. Josh, where do you want to start?
Ooh, how about For Honor?
Okay, if you're going to do that.
Yes.
Can we talk about Jason Vanderberg?
We have to.
That guy.
He might be my favorite thing of E3. I mean, if a beard ever had a persona, it's this man.
I was a little disappointed when I realized that wasn't his real talking voice. Like when he was, and he's like being all growl, and then he's like, oh, that was, I thought he actually talked like that. I'm like, this guy's awesome.
He's a gruff mofo.
This game looks cool.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool. Like you're doing it's like kind of Mountain Blade, kind of, like you said, got some multiplayer sword fighting crap, when you have a whole bunch of AI dude, like creeps or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like versus, yeah, that looked real. And then like the sword fighting scene, what is really deliberate and kind of slower paced and stuff. But it's like also kind of looks pretty brutal.
Yeah,
a little tactical on the sword combat. But so what? It's 4-on-4 with the creeps, basically.
I guess that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Yeah,
it was different. It was and kind of out of nowhere. And then like I said, that Vandenberg man, he sold me on it. Like
He sold it.
I mean, he just present everything. It's fine.
And, I just assumed that he personally tried all the weapons that are in the game.
He knows the game the best.
Like on dummies and fruit and
fruit. Yeah, I don't know. Like I thought that their new thing that they would announce would probably be a sequel to something. And which we kinda had later. But like I was fully expecting a Watch Dogs 2 kind of moment. And And For Honor came out of nowhere and is very different. It doesn't look like there's, you know, a watchtower I need to climb to unveil things in this game. So good to see Ubisoft doing something different. It looks engaging. I don't know.
I'm very interested to see like how an actual game of For Honor plays out, because I mean in the demo they make it very deliberate. They're showing you know, here's highlighting this part. And it was cool to watch the kind of start out one-on-one sword fight. You know, I'm going to block this. I'm going to counterattack that. And then when you're starting to get the feel of that, this guy like Leroy's his way into the fight. He's like, here's your partner number two. He's just like, swings and misses and stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of what I want to see more of. Because I don't imagine a real multiplayer game. You're going to one-on-one. Every single person's going to find the person they're going to fight. It's going to be one-on-one. I want to see that kind of chaos. But you're trying to control it and be, you know, in charge with your swords, your blocks, your parries. That's the kind of stuff I'm excited about. What are the game modes? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, are you doing, like, capture the flag? Are you doing, like, objective, push-pull? You know, like, I want to see that kind of stuff. That'll make – because, like, the combat can be super fun, but if you're just literally just jumping into a big ball and fighting every time, that's not going to – no one gives –
sure.
I mean, that's not going to have legs.
They're going to have to mix it up.
But I feel like you have to start with making sure the gameplay is fun and then build out from there.
Well, of course, yeah. But I guess those other things are probably easy to slap on. But like, I want to see them do something new with that.
Yeah.
You know, like if it's like an actual, like a castle siege or something, like are you fighting outside and then taking the fight inside? If it actually goes
that would be good.
Like from like beginning to end of like a siege or something, like that could be pretty awesome. Like they could just do more with it. And I hope it's not just like man, the combat's cool, and it's got these two game modes, and obviously it's the first. The second one's got to be really good. Like
For Honor 2.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they don't have the Lord of the Rings license, but they're just doing the end of Two Towers. That's really
this would be doomed if it was a launch game. you know? Yeah, like, but now would, it's like, yeah. So, yeah. But
wasn't there a bit of Rise? There was some Rise 2 chatter, I think, when they started talking about the, when it first came up. But overall, I thought it was cool, and I'm like, something new from them. So that was completely unexpected. Is there anything that kind of missed the mark for you guys before we get into more good news? But I'm just curious, because I felt pretty good. I think the lowest point was Trackmania, but that's just because I'm not interested in Trackmania. So, but overall, for you,
Jason is.
Oh, what? Trackmania is great. What's wrong with you?
I haven't gotten into it, so it doesn't do anything for me. But
are you guys buying Syndicate?
I likely will as an Assassin's Creed player, but I understand. I don't think this E3, I put it on my low end as a person who is most likely to play it of the four of us. Mm-hmm. I put it on my low end because I don't think it really sold anyone who wasn't already going to play Assassin's Creed. It was just a trailer.
Making time for that game at the end of this year with some of the other shit that's coming out, like, I think I really want to play as, is it Ellie? Is it the sister?
Yeah, Evie.
So far the brawler dude has not done shit for me, and I keep thinking he's a Bloodborne character, and it
looks like it.
That character just looks like an jerk.
We were chatting during that live stream, and I was like, oh shit, Aisha's sitting next to this Bloodborne cosplayer and doesn't know that he's from Bloodborne, and she's gonna ask him. I was like, no, but it was totally he was a plant for Assassin's Creed.
He was Syndicate.
And so I thought he was from the Order at first too.
Cole, you don't sound like hyped on this at all, right? We both kind of shake our heads.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's just like, really, another. I'm done. It's just too many of the same game for the last 6 years.
I will say it has more personality than Unity. Like, Unity is so Assassin's Creed vanilla at this point. Like,
it is.
At least there's at least the brawler side and the building the gangs thing. It's got a little something to it. That,
I don't know. You keep adding enough flavor to vanilla, it's still vanilla.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's funny. The guy said that after they showed the reveal, and the guy's talking about it on stage a little bit, and he says, you know, he had some line about, like, finally we've taken Assassin's Creed into the modern day.
He did say that.
What? Are you, like,
I had no idea what that meant.
That's insulting because that's the thing I want to see, is them to actually try to do an Assassin's Creed in an actual modern setting, because then they have to change. Yeah. They got to change things up a little bit because people.
It's supposed to lead up to that point, and that's what everyone thought it was doing with one, and then the three parts of two. It felt like it was leading up to having Desmond do stuff in the modern day and be a different game. But then
they had their moment where, like, oh shit, we need to release this yearly, and this story is gonna get really out of control because we have no idea how many years people are gonna keep buying this game. So we need to not have an ending anymore.
Yeah, they really screwed themselves up. And so now they're like, we can do this yearly. And that's how they lose people, you know, who are really into it, or, you know, doesn't want to play it anymore. I mean, it's essentially...
It's another reason Assassin's Creed 3 makes me mad. Because, like, at least if they were ending that shit, they should have ended it well. But anyway, I don't know. Like, it's got my attention more than Unity, but I'm not going to play another Assassin's Creed game for a while. So,
I'll let you know how it is.
I might play that China game, the 2D one. So
I'm interested in that now. It's cheap. It's $10. So.
How about the most Ubisoft of Ubisoft games and that Ghost Recon reveal? Because it was they have literally combined all of them into
all the games.
I cannot believe. I thought they were in on the joke, and then they pulled out to see the world that all the players.
As they do.
I mean, it looked cool, though, but it was like...
This looks pretty cool.
It was like, it looked like The Division meets Far Cry and, you know, some more Tom Clancy in there, but it looked great.
This could be some pretty fun.
It was like Ghost Recon Wildlands, is that the...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Looked pretty sweet. Shit, what was the other... They had another... That looks really great. Rainbow Six Siege. Looks and Angela Bassett. Like, for all of these celebrity appearances at E3, she did really well.
she felt more genuine than most.
Yes, she seemed to, like, understand what her character was.
Yeah.
And what the hell is Angela Bassett doing on E3 stage?
I thought that was great. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, where'd she come from? And you would expect her to be out there, but, yeah, she seemed genuinely happy to talk about some Rainbow Six.
Yeah. And then the biggest surprise was Matt and Trey Parker walking out on stage, because you heard all this shit at the end of the Stick of Truth of how grueling that game was to develop, and then that transition from 2HQ to Ubisoft, and I just kind of like, there's like, we're never making a video game again, and it's just like, well, they probably hate Ubisoft too, and then they show up on stage, and they announce another fucking South Park game. And I did see that it was confirmed that it is an RPG. I kind of was curious if they're going to go in a different direction, but the Fractured Butthole is in development. We'll see you in 2020 whenever they finish it. But at the same time, they have all the art assets basically done, so they just got to build this game. But it's not Obsidian either, so it'll be a Ubisoft studio that's doing it. So got some question marks around there, but they deserve the Stick of Truth deserves a sequel, and I'm excited about it.
I think so. That game's pretty great, and I don't think Matt and Trey can do any wrong. They seemed, and like when Stick of Truth came out, they did interviews and stuff, and they seemed to really enjoy video games and the video game kind of atmosphere, and they had a lot of really good jokes in Stick of Truth about just playing games and how these games are made, so I would love to see them follow up with the Fractured Butthole and and what kind of jokes they can pull off in Coon and Friends, which it's nice that it's not just the same, you know, fantasy stuff again.
The switch to, we're playing the wrong game. Gotta
we're playing
game.
The wrong game.
Yeah, that's a nice touch. So I did not expect that at all. So that was great. Surprises.
How's that new Trials DLC or game or whatever going to play? Like, how is that going to control with you on a horse, basically?
Who knows?
And you're a cat.
That looked real. I mean, I hate that. It's like, oh, look, it's cool and it's internet. That was dumb. But how is that going? Is that going to play totally differently, or is it literally just going to control the exactly same as a motorcycle? And it's going to do some real dumb stuff with animations.
Kind of great too.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I never got into Fusion. Like, it wasn't running too well the PC at first, and so I didn't go back in for that round of Trials. But so that kind of swung and missed for me. I didn't mean to end on a down note. Let's go to Sony though, because Sony started out fucking strong. Holy shit, they
front loaded.
Man, they had their list of what announcements will blow people's mind and just start checking them off. And so they start off with The Last Guardian. I think we're just excited that it exists.
It's still around.
It's a thing. The demo for me. I was more excited that it exists. The demo for me didn't do very much for me. It also didn't prove, like, okay, so how much more of the game actually exists than this one crumbly tower?
Thing.
And why are you taking your giant dog through this ancient ruin? This is not going well. You're a dumb fucking kid.
Yeah. What a terrible, terrible pet owner. That's all I was thinking too. I'm like, were you just yelling at him to jump across this gap?
Yeah,
jump. Like, it looks rickety as fuck. Like, you're gonna have him, oh, hey, go test that out for me. It's like, you know, hey, drink this wine. Is it poison? Like, what's wrong with you?
Eat these berries.
I won't play the game like that. I'll get to a point like that. I'm like, I don't want you to get hurt. I got this. I'll jump and die as many times I have to try to find a way across myself. And if we can't do it, I'll put the game down. I don't want him to.
Die. Yeah.
You're the last guardian.
That's only a real way to play The Last Guardian is to put it down.
to never play it.
To not play it.
To never play it.
And they follow up with a super vague date. It's coming out next year, but you know, that's ballsy of them to show it. So they didn't completely give up on it, and they also like kind of propped up the creator of it, and even though he's been, you know, not. It might be kind of his fault why it's taking so long. So
that was kind of a big deal, I thought, actually doing that.
Yep. So that was cool. Like, I like that they got that out of the way right at the start, too. So
Yeah. Don't worry.
Cole, what got you with the Sony conference?
I'm really excited for Horizon. I think is that Guerrilla Games is
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
So what did you think it was as, like, walk me through that trailer, because I went through some shit with it.
So I was, you know, thinking of Enslaved, first off, which I got real excited about, because I love Enslaved.
That's a good one.
But then it just, the setting is what really kind of grabbed me as well, because it's like a post-apocalyptic game. And it's like
Cavemen,
but like technologically advanced cavemen with that big ass city, that steampunky kind of city. I don't know. The big fucking robot
dinosaurs.
that's really cool too.
I'd be okay if it was called Horizon Robot Dinosaurs.
I wish.
That just
Dinobots.
That looked,
but I also got like a little Assassin's Creed vibe that has me worried a little bit. Just
actually, like,
really,
and stuff. Yeah,
it gave me. Like, I think I said, I was like, oh, somebody might get Assassin's Creed 3 right. Like the as far as like when I thought it was just a tribal focused game and like in that setting, I was like, oh yeah, we can do some survival stuff out here, and it looks really good. And then, oh shit, those are giant animals. Oh shit, those are giant robot dinosaurs.
Oh shit, look how long it took to just defeat this one.
Just kill one.
Yeah.
But it was fucking cool.
And when they, I kept rewatching it. Like, so she's like shooting arrows at the thing, hitting weak spots. It's blowing up, and then like its like turret cannon thing falls off its back, and then she just picks it up and uses it against him. And I was like, that was the moment where I was like, this game's gonna be all over the place. I like it.
Yeah. And that was cool that these people are living like, you know, kind of like primitive tribes or something like that. You know, there's cave wall paintings and stuff. But they're surrounded by all this technology that is still maybe feels like the natural world would have, you know, a million years ago or something. So they just, it's like not weird that there's robots to them. But it's like, the humans have,
but
they don't have as much technology.
They also got to be kind of scared of that technology, because that's what the machines are. So it's like kind of like explains why they're still, you know, being very primitive, because even though they've accessed all that shit.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're hunting and stuff, but they probably, for the most part, unless you're a hunter, you're probably a prey.
Yeah.
So, but so what was she was like hunting these robot ostriches or something, and they had these like green canisters on their back, and she was like trying to knock them. Shoot those things and then pick up a resource. Is that like, maybe. Was she trying to like get something for crafting, do you think? Or do you, they didn't ever actually say.
I think that was like more running their village or whatever, their cave, like the power.
Oh,
or,
yeah, that would make sense.
That's what I was getting out of it. Like, that's what we use to survive.
Because she's not hunting robot meat. Like, they're not going to go fry up some
gears. I didn't know if they were talking about this like outside of the press conference, if you guys saw anything.
I didn't follow up on it.
I think they were showing it off. They were putting a controller in people's hands, weren't they? Or no?
I don't know.
Maybe they're just walking through a demo, but
because I assume this is a little ways off. This is probably a 2017 game, but it's
since
also
they
good.
Didn't say, yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
But it's also nice to see Guerrilla get to do something that isn't Killzone.
Yeah, that's what excited me the most.
I was excited for them.
Yeah, it gave me the real Prey vibe, just kind of the tribes people.
Really?
And yeah, that's the game that kind of made me think. I'm like, hey, is Prey still a thing? Just the bow and arrow and shooting at stuff and kind of that tribe mentality.
Gotcha. Cole, I guess we should talk about that other thing.
Yeah,
the Hitman trailer.
Right.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
We can get there, but let's talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake first.
Did you say remake?
I said remake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. And I hope they remake it to a better game.
Oh, wow.
Sick.
Shots fired.
That's really, yeah. Okay. Does anybody care? Let's be honest. Does anybody care?
I mean, I care. I'm going to get it.
Okay. All right.
You're going to get it? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I might be willing to play it. I just don't know if I care.
I might be willing to watch about 30 minutes of it just to.
But I didn't want it. I want it now. I don't want to wait till 2020 to get it.
You know?
That's the hard thing is,
man.
Well, we know it's coming, but we don't know when. So just, you know, wait longer. Wait till that PC port comes. You can play that first, and then
it's likely better than the port.
I just want to know, like, Square Enix is such a weird company, especially with like around Final Fantasy and whether it's a success or not, and the money that it makes, and how long the games take, and how much money they cost, and how they ruin the stuff that Eidos does because they have to make up the ground. But it's just like, so they hit this point where like, okay, Like, we've been putting off doing this. There were so many other opportunities to do this remake. I'm curious as to what the breaking point for them was of why now.
And, that's a good question.
And it might be Sony's involvement, because they've, I mean, everything that was at this conference, like, that seemed to be, like, independent studios or third parties, like, Sony has their hands in it. Like, you look at, like, Street Fighter V, and then what they did with, and we'll talk about Shenmue in a moment, but just, like, Sony might be kind of behind this as well, which is smart, because they are, you know, they're wheeling and dealing for sure behind the scenes and, like, trying to make
they
this,
have
like...
to. They have no first-party titles.
No, they do not. No, they do not.
And,
no.
And you know what? Fans clamoring for things. Like, okay, here it is. Like, you, this is what you asked for. This is on you now. And if you don't want it. I'm getting more and more excited about 15. So the way, you know, the way the combat looks and the open trip. World stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think it looks pretty fun. But so if you picture Seven's story and characters and world, maybe with like a actual decent gameplay system and like world progression and adventure kind of feel to it, like that would actually, that sounds appealing.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Like it just can't play anything like Seven. Right. If it doesn't play like Seven, it could actually be good.
I saw Mega Ran was campaigning to do the voice of Barrett too, if they were still looking for somebody. I thought that was cool.
That's cool.
I mentioned Shenmue 3. I don't have any ties to the Dreamcast, so I'm the wrong person to talk about this, but hey, they raised a lot of money really quickly.
Really fast. That Kickstarter went live and the money poured in.
Josh, you're shaking your head. What's up?
It's Shenmue so bad.
Looking for some sailors.
So bad. I don't know. But, you know, people are like, Shenmue, it's great. Like, it was trying to do things at the time. It didn't do them well. It's failed at those things, I think. But, like, you know, just because it was ambitious doesn't mean it was good.
Mm. Sure.
But, you know, with technology today, sure, you take those ideas and it's possible you could make some kind of, you know, an interesting game out of it. But it's like yet to be done. So I don't know, you know, if it can be done. But like, here's this guy, you know, how many more big games does he have left in him? And he wants to give it one more shot. Like, go for it, dude.
Why not? You know, yeah.
But he's totally just making another Shenmue game. Like,
and then it was, I can't remember what it was. I think it was on like one of like the Giant Bomb interview things or something. And Adam Boyes was talking about Yu Suzuki after it would launch, you know, on stage and all that, backstage with like with some tissues because he was crying because he was so happy about that. And I'm like, that got me, man. That got me. I'm like, man, you know, go for it, brother. I hope it's big. I hope it's awesome.
Yeah, I hope it works for you.
Yeah,
I you know,
hope people love it.
I thought that Kickstarter might blow up in their face, but nope. It's
doing. Oh, sure. I was afraid it would.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. As far as other weird things for me, the Batman Arkham Knight thing was kind of like just thrown in there.
That was a jarring trailer.
It was
footage.
Weird because it was like a first person playing as a cop, and then weird scarecrow shit starts happening, and then they promote like we're getting all these scarecrow missions. I was like, what, like. Why?
Like, you made me feel really bad just now.
Arkham Knight's going to be fine, but it's like,
yeah.
But like, I'm not excited for the Batmobile and all the effort they've put into that because I look at that like you could have put that into something else. And then seeing this like first person stuff, like I love me some Scarecrow, and that shit was crazy in Arkham Asylum, and yes. More of that, yes. But like, did you really
You scared all the children and all the businessmen. Everyone's scared of that game.
It was weird. It was just such a, I don't know. And yeah, I saw them wasting time doing first person stuff, and I was just like, "Gosh, like how
that
game's gonna
be
odd." Like, I think I really just wanted them to like. It's Warner Brothers, so it's like, hey, like Shadow of Mordor was pretty great. Take a couple years and add that stuff into this game. Don't like just rust this thing out. But I don't know. We'll find out in a week, so it doesn't matter. The other weird thing was Media Molecule did their thing.
their weird thing.
I think they're like required to get some stage time every show and just show off what they're doing, and it's all looks beautiful and crazy concept, but like everything they kind of do looks a little bit unplayable to me, like the goods and bads of Little Big Planet. And so they had this Dreams game, and didn't they also do like those like Harry Potter magic books or whatever? You know what I'm talking about? Like they did all the the story,
the PlayStation Eye thing.
Yeah, maybe that. I don't think that was.
I don't know if that was them.
But no, this was that moment in that show of just like, this is weird looking and like interesting, but like, I don't understand how you're making dreams. Like, how just, I can't draw shit or make shit in games, and this looks really hard.
These don't look like my dreams. I didn't see any options for nudity or first person murder, or even just like flying through space, saving the galaxy. I'm like, whose dreams are these?
No trust.
But as far as the magical moments that I can get behind, No Man's Sky was probably the best presentation of E3. The dude was just like, somebody described it as like, it's like you walked into their office and just asked him while he's working on the game to show you some stuff about the game. And he's like, well, you know, here's some space combat. Apparently this game has space combat. So I'll just go to this planet and hope it works. Oh, yeah, good, it worked. Oh, shit, there's no life on this planet, but I can do this thing. And it was just, man, I cannot wait to just do nothing in that game.
There's so much nothing to do in No Man's Sky.
Have they talked release date for that thing at all?
I think he said we'll be able to play it this year, unless I'm mistaken on that. Oh. But he didn't get concrete. Nothing concrete on that.
I think he's working out they're working out their PlayStation 4 deal. So it's, Wikipedia still listed as a 2015 release, but other than that, man, I'm excited for that game though.
So what? I'm super pumped for this, and I'm glad we got to see some of it in action. And it's like, oh look, the game actually works the way, you know, we thought it would maybe or whatever. But what's up with the Sentinels? Like, what is that? Every planet?
But that was like, that is weird. So having the universe that connected, and like, you want lifeless planets and you want weird planets, but it followed the, oh shit, everything's destructible moment for me. Like, and you start to see, oh, he's collecting resources so he can, I'm guessing you're collecting resources so you can power yourself to get to planets that are further and further away.
Sure. Yeah. I know. I think you talked about it. Yeah. They talked about that before, but they had, and I know he said like they manipulated the demo so stuff would appear more frequently or something.
Yeah, I'd be curious if those Sentinels are on every planet.
Yeah, maybe they don't always show up just like right away like that. But still, but if they're not everywhere, then I don't know. Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, there's like some kind of weird faction of like, you know, Captain Planet's Planeteers have gone rogue or something like that. But I had to point out something that was really cool. It's like he said like something like, and here's the Sentinels, and if you guys know anything about Warhammer 40K, but the Imperial Guard faction has these two leg walkers, look like AT-STs, called Sentinels, that look just like that thing. And I'm like, it was a weird moment. It's like, Sentinels are here. I'm like, oh shit. And he's, you know, like, they're also, here's some Space Marines and some Tyranids. Like, here's some really 40K game. You didn't know this.
Yeah, I mean, and then with the space battle stuff, you don't know how those factions work, because it was just like, you can choose to participate in this or you don't have to. So there's a lot of stuff in that game, and I don't know. I wonder how they know when it's done. Like, it's just,
how do you know?
And also, like, again, these guys made that stupid, what was that? What was their little motorcycle?
Joe Danger.
Yeah. What? I'm glad I got that out. So,
one more quick thing to say about No Man's Sky. That pop in has to get way better. I'm letting it slide down. But man, if it launches like that, it's going to kill it. Kill it for me. Pop-in has plagued us for two generations now. Of
pop-in. I do agree.
But it's real jarring every time I see that. I'm like, and I just kind of push it. I brush it aside. I'm like, nope. It's fine. It's bad.
I hope I find that planet, though. That was kind of, find the E3 planet with the E3 fish. So
yeah,
just planet E3. That's out there. And then they closed the show with, I don't know, I thought this was actually kind of charming in the moment of their Uncharted 4 demo, of just like, or maybe charming is the wrong word, but it's like a very humanizing moment of that demo not working to start. And
I posted a link in our Slack about the story.
So what actually happened?
So they get out there, they run the cinematic that leads up to the actual gameplay. And so everyone's excited. Oh, it's Uncharted 4. Yo, here we go. And apparently, like, as the screen, the stage goes dark, the guy moves out. There's a guy with a stool and the guy who's supposed to play the game. He gets out there and he's like, I don't have the controller. And he's like, where's the controller? And the other guy's like, I don't know. I'm the stool carrier. And so they give him a controller. He's like, okay, I'm going to play. The lights are on and everything. And then he says, controller doesn't work. It's not like syncing with the system or something. It's just not working. And so we're like all sitting here watching it. And we're like, Drake's standing still for an awfully long time. And then the trailer eventually, or the demo eventually restarts. We're like, oh, we're going to watch it again, I guess. And so they had a backup unit, they claim. And he had a controller. He's like sweating this time. He's like, it didn't work the first time. This one has to work. And then he plays and, you know, the demo works as expected. But apparently they also had a video backup in case they failed twice. So I don't know if we would have actually, if that second system had failed, would we have seen that intro three times before actually seeing actual footage?
I don't know that about the video backup, but I think it's cool when they want to try to go live, but you know, shit happens. And there's actually a moment in the trailer where he almost dies. Like I thought he was going to fail. That stood out to me. And then the vehicle stuff is what really stood out to me. Because at first I thought it was on rails, but it becomes evident later that he's driving this thing around. And that's
new for Uncharted.
That could be some fun shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about the second half of that demo they're showing. Mm-hmm. They were showing behind closed doors.
Oh, shit. No.
There's every single person I've heard talk about it has said that it was unbelievable, that second half of that. And everyone said, can't believe they didn't show that on stage. Like, what? Yeah. That was already crazy. I thought it was good.
I thought it was a good demo.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, it just got even crazier once he gets up on the, you know, the convoy or whatever. And
I did have similar to my Fallout moment of, yeah, I'm ready for more Uncharted. Like, I don't really know where you're going with the series or if we need another one. But, like, yeah, I'll play some more. And I like me some Uncharted, so I'm fine.
Are we getting that? March or something? Or?
Yeah, I think it's early next year.
Yeah,
it continues to look incredible. So.
Oh, man, it's just Naughty Dog. It's just some fun to see them just flex. Like, I mean, even when that demo was idling and he's just looking across the crowd, just seeing their crowd shit compared to, like, even Assassin's Creed is just like...
Yeah, for that demo going wrong, what was on screen still looked really good.
Yeah,
they still push like the systems to the limit. And it's like it's amazing seeing how what's going to happen with their next game. Like, what's that going to look like? But something else too. They've been talking about. They were talking about the show. I don't know if they were talking about before this, but with the collection, the Drake collection. Yeah. apparently, they're actually going back to like 1 and 2 and making some changes to the gameplay and stuff like that.
One needs it, but yeah.
Yeah, one especially, like, they need to, because I actually am excited to play through those again, but one is going to be rough.
Yeah, I think one's the toughest to play through.
Yeah, so if they can actually make that control a little better, that could be pretty cool.
Anything else to say about Sony before we move on?
View!
Yeah, what's this View thing?
Dude, it's actually could possibly be coming our way this summer.
Huh.
Like, because right now it's only in, like, was it 5 or 6 cities? They just expanded. They were in 3. Now they expanded to a couple more. But that, I think it was a new announcement that it's gonna. You could also do an a la carte version of it. It's like a cable subscription, basically, on your PS4. But now you're gonna be able to pick and choose your channels. And I'm not sure what the pricing is gonna be like for that. But they have the lineup is, you know, it looks like a cable lineup to me. So it might be,
I saw USA was on there, so I can watch Raw.
Right. That's actually, I'm sure a lot of people are going to go get in USA. But yeah.
Well, there's only 3 channels on the a la carte that are live now, I think, in those cities.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all that stuff is still. Yeah. You know, I'm sure it's.
Expensive. I mean, in their testing phase, and there are 3 pretty shitty channels, but it's cool that they're doing that for sure.
Yeah. I just want to mention that we didn't talk about Call of Duty. The fact that it's got the exclusive stuff for Sony, so
that's a bad demo.
Shrug, yeah.
Oh my god,
it was like magic and shit.
Yeah, they've lost weird. It. Yeah.
It's nano things.
Nanos, nanites.
It's nanos.
So magic, cool.
No. iPod nanos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really, I thought that was a super underwhelming demo.
I didn't really care.
It should have been big news, but that's where Call of Duty's at now. So
right. Like, oh, that's, I don't know if I'd be trumpeting that. I hope you guys didn't spend money on that.
I will say, like Sony was just rapid fire with the games there too in the middle too. So like their independent stuff was great, and luckily they have the third party support and the extra support, because they, you know, as barren as my PlayStation 4 feels sometimes, the games are out there. So
yeah,
that takes us to Tuesday morning, where Nintendo does their Nintendo Direct with Muppets this year. holy endearing Muppets.
Muppets.
Better. It was great.
It was better than the Robot Chicken stuff for sure. And just constantly dancing. And they kick things off with an awkward Muppet transition to Star Fox.
that was the
speaking
weirdest.
Of Robot Chickens. The R-Wing turns into a robot chicken. Literally.
Wow, that's a great segue.
All right, so it sounds like everyone in the world doesn't know what to make of these motion controls. If you take that out, does Star Fox look good? Are we interested? Josh nod his head. Cole shaking his head.
I'm in the middle. It looks okay.
All right. Yeah. It just it didn't pop like for.
It's not what I expected.
For as beautiful as a lot of Nintendo games have been on the Wii U, this is not the prettiest one they've come up with.
Send out that Star Fox.
Send out that
Star Fox VHS hype tape on board.
Comes with the rumble pack.
Yeah. Those hype tapes.
So what? It transforms into a robot chicken.
Yes.
The tank was even walking a little bit. There's lots of vehicle stuff.
Make so that's walk. The thing. Okay. I know everybody is poo-pooing on it, and I was too. And the control thing, it looks real dumb, and I'm going to be turning that off immediately, and it is optional. But I watched the video again this morning, and I didn't even have sound. And I watched it again. I'm just kind of just paying attention to the different clips of gameplay, and it looks like there might be some of the environments actually look pretty cool. Some epic moments, some like huge boss fights and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, actually it looks like it might be a pretty fun adventure.
Yeah.
Like just some like, you know, big kind of bombastic moments and stuff like that. I'm like, if they actually take it over the top with plenty of cinematic moments, like in the game, like that added on top of just like the core Star Fox kind of gameplay, which is, we kind of know what to expect with it, but
yeah,
I think that could be pretty fun. Just play through the story kind of thing. Like, I could be down with that. I think
I'm with you there. I don't think it's going to be, I don't question them to have like a very lackluster Star Fox adventure, as long as they stick to like the R wings and, you know, kind of making you have that 64 feeling all over again. Mm-hmm. I think they can really nail that down, but everything else about it, the motion controls, you'll want to turn those off. Like, they really want to champion and push those controls. And they had that Miyamoto clip where he's like talking about how cool it would be, like, if you're looking at the screen and you're seeing this, but you look down at the gamepad and you can move it this way, like you're actually flying the R-Wing. And I just don't know how on board I am with the idea of, it sounds like a cool thing to see for 5-10 minutes, maybe, to be, oh, I'm like flying the R-Wing. But if I'm going to sit there and play the entire game, I don't think that's what I want to do.
I'm just ready for the twist where the back half of the game is Star Fox Adventures 2.
I will boycott that shit.
Very
hey, that was the best non-Zelda Zelda game I've played.
Dude, I hate that.
So, Platinum is helping out on this game.
Oh, yeah?
We don't know what exactly they're doing.
I didn't see any attitude in this game.
So some anime bullshit.
plenty of anime bullshit. I mean, this is like the furries. Like,
no, it is. Star Fox is very anime.
There'll be a button to make Fox smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, I've got
the anime bullshit version of this of Fox is actually Fox McCloud. You were correct. Fox, that does exist.
Yeah. I've got a lot of questions about Star Fox. It'll be fine, and I want to play more Star Fox. But for, you know, well, a lot of Nintendo Wii U releases have been great, and this one seems like it might not hit that level. But Star Fox has always been kind of that game, but. I will say though, for the game that I was kind of writing off that I think I'm all in on, maybe I just maybe it was just that creative director and all of the little Yoshis she made.
I thought you were talking about this.
But holy shit, Yoshi's Woolly World really is a Yoshi's game. Like, I didn't realize it. I thought it was going to be almost like, I don't know, use some gamepad shit, like, and do kind of what the last Kirby game did. But this is like straight up Yoshi's platforming game, throwing shells you know, lots of yarn characters, and I think I'm ready for it because I skipped the last Yoshi's game, so let's do this.
The Muppets are here. Yeah, I'm really excited about Woolly World, especially. I think it's just, it has to be that creative director, that woman who talks, and she had all of the Yoshis in front of her, and she's like, oh, telling the story about how she wanted to contribute and help, and so she started making these little Yoshis, and everyone loved it. Like, it's just a very kind of enduring Nintendo product. Like, it's what I expect out of Nintendo that I don't expect out of your Sonys and your EAs and stuff like that. I really expect this kind of cutesy, endearing, you know, childlike wonder to their games, and watching Yoshi in action and how he looks like a little yarn person and he's doing all these little yarn things.
I think Yoshi should have eaten Yarny at the end of it.
He should have eaten Yarny from Unravel. Yeah.
The first time they showed him poop out a ball of yarn. Man, that was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
I need a yarn. I need to be able to buy a yarn Shy Guy and a yarn Poochie.
Those yarn Poochie, yes.
And you just need balls of yarn, and you've got the Yoshi poops.
Just buy some yarn. You got
this. Like, a playset for Woolly World would be very cheap. I feel like it's a good value.
It would be.
The shit that I didn't get in on, though, I didn't watch the
Segway.
the Nintendo World Championships. I wish I'd watched that live, because
I missed.
Apparently, Super Mario Maker's the shit. Like,
apparently,
yes.
My God, I watched that the first segment where, you know, they're trying to see how far each person can get in the level, and when the dude figures out the jumps and the like, the whole crowd goes nuts, and then he fails right at the end. It was phenomenal, and it's just like, I don't know if I'm gonna take the time to make a bunch of Super Mario levels, but man, if they can figure out how to curate those playlists, like, it's got some serious possibilities, and it feels like it's a lot more robust of a game than they've shown in previous years. So it feels like they're getting it.
Can't wait to play 1-1 that somebody created.
Like, how long do you think it'll take before Mario Maker just has a dick somewhere in it that they just can't get rid of?
How long?
They
don't know what's there. It depends what day Josh buys the game.
Yeah, when will Josh play Mario Maker? I want to play his levels before Nintendo deletes them.
Yeah, I guess that's my question. Is I want to know. Like, I hope Nintendo makes a ton of levels for it at first too, and then because otherwise I might run out of stuff to do pretty quick. But
dude, those levels at the World Championships were insane, and those were Nintendo made. So
yeah. You got to throw those in, right? Yeah,
those dudes just need to keep designing Mario Maker levels, because fuck.
So hopefully they have like some way to like just see all the Treehouse made levels, like in the just you said it, like, if they can curate that it's going to work, like, this is going to work, because there's going to be plenty of people that do not have the patience to make levels, like, probably more than but man, that this game looks insane, and it's just all the things that we said, like, it would have to do in order for it to actually be worth a shit. Like, they covered it all and then some.
Those anime towers, I can't get over those.
Yeah, like, just really? Like, they put in plenty of like new goofy stuff, but it's not. It's like, if you thought that the new Super Mario Brothers games were just like crap, great. You don't have to see any of that. You can just play Mario 2 stuff or Mario 3 stuff or what, Super Mario World. Or something.
Whatever
it is, like, your bag. Like, they've got it. And at that third, the final level that they showed at the World Championships kind of showed you the scope. Like, they're like, I think that. I don't know what the limit is on how big you can make some of these levels, but like, they had how many different doors you would go in, and it was like a Super Mario World setting, right, on that one, and it was like going through like a castle, and you go in the doors, and it would take you to all these different rooms, and it was like really big, complicated kind of dungeon, and that blew me away. The creativity and the level design obviously did a lot of it. They're not all going to be that awesome, but it also sounds like you can just you don't have to download the levels, or at least it, you don't have to
save them or whatever.
You know, put them in a cart and grab them and whatever. Yeah, you just click. You just click it and it loads and you play it, and then that's it.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Because if they can, like you said, if they can curate like awesome levels and or and by the same creators into their own little games too, like so you have continuity of
certain levels too.
I think that'd be cool. And you have the ability to have a new Mario game like every day.
Essentially, yeah, that would be amazing.
I think it's got the community, man. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. People will be silly with that. I mean, you've seen what they fucking do with wall art on the Wii U, just like.
I mean, see what they do. We'll see what those people do with Little Big Planet, and like now you have.
Well, like it's kind
four
of
different
like,
games to bring in, potentially, and do cool shit with Mario, which is you know what everybody's trying to copy anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Little Big Planet's great, but there was a point where it became impossible to navigate all the user created stuff, and that's that'll be key. Yeah. Is making that stuff feel. I don't doubt the great content will be out there, but having it find me will be what makes or breaks it too. So,
I actually want to go to a Best Buy to play this.
It's very tempting.
Surely we have one, right?
I hope so.
I forget. I think Jeff on Giant Bomb was like, "Oh, I didn't know there were that many Best Buys left." whatever their number was. Cole, talk to me about Xenoblade Chronicles X because I think the trailers look great.
But yes,
I'm scared.
Some anime, some big time anime bullshit. Xenoblade Chronicles. I really enjoyed the first game. What I played of it. So I think, I mean, and this one looks super similar in terms of the combat. It's very MMO stylized, I guess, or Final Fantasy XII a little bit.
Yeah.
You have like your icons down at the bottom, your hotkeys, if you will, and that's how you attack and do any special moves or anything like that. So that part was fun in the first one, and it seems like it's going to be in this one, but there was no shooting in the first one, so I'm not sure how this is going to work with the guns, and that's what I'm actually excited about. It's just a different type of setting.
Cool. Yeah, it seems so subdued, but I was like, what? Like, this is a third... This game looks great. What? Why are we not making a bigger deal about this? And it's just...
Well, it's... Yeah. People, the reviews I've read of the Japanese version, it's kind of mixed. So gotcha. We'll
see. That's what I saw. There's a lot of running. I've seen people complain about, I guess, just navigation of that game. Like the worlds or the sections are really big.
Yeah, they were really big. They were really big on the Wii, and that was like shocking to me. How
that was weird back then.
Yeah,
can't you? They have mounts or something, right? Like you can get into mechs, robots, and stuff. Is that not a way to get around the world too, or is that just like a?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure how often or how available that is. And all the demos I've seen is just a lot of running from point A to point B.
Because in the first one, I played, 20 to 30 hours of it, and there was not a whole lot of mech time for my characters anyway. So,
yeah, I meant to play that on Wii, and I don't want to miss it twice. So that I don't know. It just seemed like such a thing that they threw in there, and I was like, this seems like it could be a bigger deal. Like, but
go play it on the 3DS right now. The first one.
Yep.
You could.
Aaron, anything else that you want to call out from Nintendo?
There are two things basically. So they showed some footage.
I'm gonna have to go for this conversation.
Well, the first one. So to continue the anime bullshit, Fire Emblem Fates. We're gonna get that.
Is it the Fire Emblem game or is it the crossover one?
I think that's just the Fire Emblem one.
Okay.
So they showed.
Did they show the other one?
I don't believe they showed
at this digital event, or was it somebody else's?
I don't know. I thought the crossover was the really anime bullshit one.
No, yes. The crossover is the real anime bullshit.
Yeah, that one's a lot more anime bullshit. But I'm excited about getting... I've only ever played Fire Emblem on a handheld, like on the Game Boy or the 3DS. I've never finished them. But
Wonder Swan.
Or the Wonder Swan. But I'm really excited, I think, this time about actually getting into Fates and seeing how Fire Emblem translates to a bigger screen, a bigger system. And so I'm happy that, the U.S. is going to get that game.
Shit, that's a Wii U game?
Yes.
I just assumed that it was a 3DS game.
So
I believe.
I forget which game it was, and it might have been the Zelda stuff. of, no, it was the Mario Luigi Paper Jam of like, God, why can't I do crossbys? Why can I not play these 3DS games on my Wii U? Like, and it's getting really aggravating.
No Fates might be a 3DS game. I'm looking it up now.
I think it was. I think it is. And that,
I mean, they just the market in Japan for that game. They're going to have the handheld and not a Wii U.
And that's
so
fine. But how hard can a port fucking be?
Yeah, how hard?
I know.
Got two screens.
I'm,
damn it.
I don't disagree with you.
Functionality is all there. Can't be done. Yeah.
I'd play my Wii U more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same here. So that's unfortunately,
what I want to like a reason to not put that in the closet after I'm done with Splatoon. Basically. That's what I'm looking for here. So,
all right. And then the part where, I don't know, Cole will either want to leave, but I'm going to have to be really down on this.
You're going to be down on it?
I'm going to be down on this.
I'm staying.
So you can stay. The thing that I was not happy about and when it happened in the Slack chat.
You were so happy at first.
Yeah, I was so happy at first they showed Animal Crossing. I'm like, yes.
Animal Crossing for the Wii. Let's do this.
For Animal Crossing Wii U. And I was getting hyped. And then they're like, hey, you're going to need Amiibos. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then they're like, it's a board game. It's a party game. And I was like, oh, what the hell is happening right now? Like, everyone has to have their own Amiibo. Yeah, it's full of mini games. You're moving around a board. This is awesome.
It didn't look like any mini games. Like,
I have no idea what you do in that game.
Here, you land here, you get this. Okay, roll again.
Yeah.
It's just like, what?
Buy an Amiibo.
Is it the first one where they're requiring the Amiibos? Like, if you want four people to play, you're going to need at least four Amiibos, and that's going to take you, like, 6 months to track down four Amiibos.
That's a whole scavenger hunt in itself. That you have to go get the Amiibo to play this game.
Guess what? We all ended up...
It's the augmented reality version of Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
That was weird. I really wanted Animal Crossing on the Wii U, but...
I was really excited because I thought that's what it was going to be. Because they showed Animal Crossing, and I think the first one was just the 3DS one. And so they showed that one, and it's like fashion.
Homemaker or whatever.
Yeah, the Happy Homemaker. The title's a little ugh for me, but I'm like, I like Animal Crossing, but this one has like its own agenda. So I was really excited when I saw Wii U. And
I have faith in you guys again and your taste in video games that it's just
not, hey, we're not just blind.
It's not just all blind Animal Crossing love. Like it's kind of
blindly
refreshing.
Buy Animal Crossing games and Amiibos. There are this purpose.
Yeah. It's just like, you guys are bitching about buying Amiibos too. And it's like, what weird, weird dimension did I walk in where you hate Animal Crossing and you're bitching about Amiibos?
Nintendo found a way.
and then they trolled us twice. Not so bad with the new Legend of Zelda 3DS, like, not four swords game, but three swords with totems.
Three swords and, three's the right height for a totem. Four is too much.
Which would be fine and great if I knew I had people to play with in that game, but that's not going to happen. So, I'm sure that game will be fun, but don't you fucking dare come to E3 and say the word Metroid and then put that shit out. What the fuck is that federal force of not Samus and multiplayer games? And
what
hey,
was that?
We need a new Metroid Prime Hunters, right? Like, what?
On Sunday when they did the World Championships, they
Battle Ball
had this game in there, but they just called it Battle Ball. There was no Metroid branding,
really?
Obviously to preserve the announcement. But I'm like, this game, just not knowing anything about it being Metroid. I looked at it and thought, this looks like a bad game. Mm-hmm. Like this doesn't look. It didn't look exciting in the least. And I'm like, yeah, it kind of has a Metroid Prime kind of thing going on. But like, I thought of like. Like Death Ball, the UT mod, like the greatest thing ever. And then, but like, this is poop version of that. Like, this looks bad. And then when they finally like, it's a Metroid game. Like, what are you doing?
Not only that,
don't put that Metroid name on this.
Not only that, but I just remember too. This is what Retro was working on. Like, this is what. God damn it! those Donkey Kong games were fine, but like,
yeah, they were good.
God, they could.
Hopefully, this is like five people from that team working on.
I hope so. I hope so. They got to be working on something. There's something else big going on besides Zelda out there, and they haven't announced it yet. But that was the overall theme of like just no big surprises from Nintendo. But thank God, Mario Maker looks badass.
They know? Don't you think Nintendo knows that a new actual real Metroid game would just sell like freaking hotcakes? Do they not
they say
know?
That
that?
They don't though.
They don't know that.
I thought they said that Metroid games don't really sell, but I don't know. That's the other weird thing with Other M.
They haven't made a really fucking good one.
Yeah, they need to make a good one.
What are they actually gauging that on?
I don't know. Like, I don't know how Metro Prime had to do all right if they made three of them, right?
They made three primes, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that shit.
What was the one again? What was the 3D action-y?
Other M.
Other M.
I was learning to forget that one.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, sorry.
That one had a lot of promise until you played it.
Until you played it.
All right. Finally, I didn't watch the Square Enix stuff, but the press conference itself. But did hit up the games at least. How was the? Did anybody watch the conference?
Nope.
I did the same thing you did.
All right.
Yeah, so, I watched a fair deal of it.
So that's just a. Yeah, how was the conference then? Like, what was there? Was it executives from Square Enix doing the presentations? Was it?
It was fairly flat of a conference, I thought. Yeah, it was like important people to Square Enix came out. They talked about this and that. A guy trolled the audience about Kingdom Hearts. It's essentially all I got out of the Square Enix conference. And Hitman.
Yeah.
I did watch a bunch of it. Because, yeah, it was really stiff.
Yeah, it was just hard to watch, kind of.
Did they have any Mad Max?
I don't know. I don't think so.
That's weird. Because that game comes out soon. So I feel like...
Or I missed it.
I feel like they're kind of pushing that game aside, and it's not going to do much. But oh my god, am I hyped for Just Cause 3? I thought like, what
that
else
game
can you?
Looks sick.
Because I played Just Cause 2 recently again, and it's just like, I can just keep playing this. But like, somebody said they are Saints Row 3-ing Just Cause 3. Like it's just like they are just throwing the kitchen sink in this game. So, and between the wingsuit and the unlimited tethering and all
so much grappling.
And just blowing up giant structures that then get rebuilt and you get to blow them up again. It's just they're doing everything right, it sounds like. And like I said, that comes out in December, and so we will push back Game of the Year as far as we need to make sure that gets Game of the Year.
Someone's got to play.
Yeah. It won't get Far Cry 3'd. So
not this time. Yeah, it looks great.
I think that's easily the
all
most
the
thing.
Booms.
The biggest thing I'm excited from them, but and then I thought Hitman was curious. Like I didn't expect to see more Hitman, and so they're redoing that and doing an interesting release cycle with it, where you can buy it like ahead of time and get whatever missions are available, and they'll keep releasing additional missions. And
yeah, that's what I thought was
going back to Hitman's roots. Sounds like a good thing for that franchise, but. I've always been curious about that that series.
Absolution was okay, but it was a lot more of an action-y kind of story-driven linear affair. But I like what they're doing here with Hitman. Just the idea of we'll give you a target, everyone go out and get that target in a variety of different ways, and it just seems like that's what Hitman should be about.
What about on the weird Japanese side, Cole? Stood out to you?
Briefly that they're bringing Star Ocean over. I haven't really played a Star Ocean game since PlayStation 1.
So it's
1.
A port of an existing game?
Well, they're just translating it. Like, it's being made in Japan, and they had already announced that it was coming out, but not for America.
Gotcha.
And then that's, some hot sci-fi anime bullshit for you. And then, the Chibi Final Fantasy, World of Final Fantasy.
What is that game?
What the hell?
I don't know. But I kind of want to play it. And you guys that could be my Animal Crossing.
I would love to hear you talk about Chibi Final Fantasy.
I hope you can buy those characters. They all look like Tomopop characters, so.
Yeah, they do. And I think, depending on if the gameplay and story is any good too, it could be an interesting game.
Sure. Okay. I still just have no idea what the details of the gameplay actually are.
No idea. RPG, I'm sure.
They were really doubling down on the RPGs. Like, there's just like a lot of RPG, like the Tokyo RPG Factory announcement, and they're doing some game, Setsuna, or something like that. It's Kingdom, all this Kingdom Hearts crap, Star Wars, dang, they're going back to the roots a little bit.
Yeah,
that was kind of neat. Not that I'm going to play any of those, but
I'm still mad at Larry Croft for being exclusive, like unreasonably
so.
But tell me about Larry, Josh.
They had this like reverse Noxzema commercial for Laura on the stage where they're like, so how we make her look cool is we take Laura and then we start adding pores to her skin, scars and dirt. And they're like, look at all the, it's got the dirty skin mod. And you know, there's like all kinds of people that like played Skyrim and stuff. And they're going like, ah, stop. Yeah. And dirtying her up. So, and, yeah. And they're like, oh, look, here's what she looks like, you know, wet or whatever. I'm like, oh gosh, hang on. cover up. Yeah, no, it was kind of weird, but they'd already also shown off the game.
Did they also kick the shit out of her again in any of the...
Yeah, here's her with her arm ripped off.
Right. You throw a stick stabbed through her throat.
Right. Yeah. Here's a javelin in her chest. I wish they would just say exactly when it's going to hit.
Yeah.
PC. PS4 and PC, because I really want to play it and I don't want to have to... I mean, this fall I might be getting a bone anyway, so...
I'm not getting on a bone.
That's probably the worst time to...
You know her hair's not going to look as good as it can look on the bone.
That's true. I don't know. I don't know if they said, if they got the old Tress FX running there on an Xbox.
Yeah.
I think it's Geralt FX is what they're using now.
Yeah, but isn't there an AMD... is there an NVIDIA chip in the Xbox? I thought it was AMD.
Yeah, I think it's AMD. So they're doing. Yeah.
So it will fail. Trust effects will crash the whole system.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
She will be bald.
They've got their own version of realistic hair, I think. Yeah. I don't know. It looks pretty great. Yeah, I really want to play it.
I mean, I'm excited for it. And that I love that first game, and I want to know how much really tomb rating is actually in this one. That would be that's my biggest question.
But. Someone said there's more tombs. I thought.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the trailer looked like the big ass tomb compared to last.
How else is she going to get dirty?
Or wet.
That's right. Well done. God, that's so weird. Well done.
Before we move on.
Just know everyone's just spending the whole time staring at the character model. It's just creepy, man. Yeah. That's creepy.
Gross.
Before we wrap this up, I wanted to at least acknowledge that the PC gaming conference thing actually existed. I could not make it through it. It was unwatchable. It it was set up like a nighttime talk show. Like they had the host had a desk and they had a couch and they had guests, and the first guest was
Keely.
No, it was Day Nine.
I can't remember his last name. Sean.
Yeah, he was fine. He had shit to work with. It was super awkward and so out of touch and so I don't know, man.
Was anything announced there that hasn't already been announced?
Like I said, I couldn't stick with it. I think they announced the Gears collection is coming to PC. It's everybody, people had presences on there, but they opened with the Killing Floor 2 guys, and then their sponsor AMD came out and hawked, motherboards and graphics cards, and weird. It was just it was super weird, and I don't know, for a thing that was from the gamers or for the people type of thing, and just representing PC gamers, it made me no, this isn't me. It was just made me uncomfortable, and I'm glad it has a presence, and hopefully they can improve it, but get Keely. Let's see, what did we miss? What games did we not talk about? I think that my big standout was Cuphead. Still looks amazing.
Yes.
And apparently that game is hard as shit.
It also looks hard as shit, yeah.
Yeah. The Xbox actually had a nice little the idea Xbox section. It wasn't, PlayStation took it to another level, but it's they're working on their relationship there.
Was it Death Block or something like that? Was that what their little four indie game set was?
Death Block? No. I mean, they had Below.
What it was called.
I don't know.
Or Death Block Games, or I forget what it was.
Cuphead, though, looks... I don't even know how that game plays, but it looks amazing, so...
It looks really good.
Any other games? Games?
They put a release date on any of those Devolver Digital games?
No.
Some of those look
cool. I think that's what I'm trying to talk... That's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was cool.
Couldn't remember what the name was.
They're cranking shit out. I think...
There was one that was a little, out of advent... What was it? A little isometric kind of...
Yeah, it kind of looked like...
Action RPG thing.
The one that kind of looked like Sword and Sorcery a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, the Death's Gambit. That's what you're thinking of. That game looks amazing. Yeah. There's a couple of those like 2D Souls games, basically, that are coming out there. So that was cool. Do you want to talk about the Danger Zone, Aaron? Because that song was stuck in my head for multiple days.
The Danger Zone. What? When did that happen?
Well, this other EA.
Oh shit! I completely forgot that that's what led up to this. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. Yeah, that. What was this? Super Brain or something?
I think the superhero zombie. Yeah.
So, yeah, like he came out and they're playing.
They overplayed Danger Zone.
Yeah, and I was like, "What the hell is this?" Yeah. So I played Plants vs. Zombies a little bit on PC, and that game's pretty fun. It's not something that really grabs you and keeps you there for that long. I didn't really return to it. Dean and I played it a little bit, but I'm kind of thumbs up to EA doing or PopCap doing Garden Warfare 2, just doing more of that and just being weird and crazy and having like these non-conventional classes in this third-person shooters based on plants and zombies.
Yeah, it definitely had a presence at the show. I'll give it that. I'll have to try it, but I don't know. Again, there's so many other multiplayer games to play. That's kind of
There's a lot of stuff out there. It is unlikely to rise to the top, but it's just a goofy, inoffensive shooter.
Like
it's
a split screen though, like couch co-op.
Yeah,
pretty fun. It's actually a pretty solid game.
Oh, good to hear.
And the other big presence, like this is the year, the last E3 before virtual reality comes out.
It's crazy.
Granted, we can't really experience any of it, so it's weird to talk about. But yeah, I mean, I like to see like the Microsoft partnerships, all that shit's going to work with Windows 10. Oculus kind of had their show right before E3, and this was more, there was a lot of focus on the controllers, like of how you're actually going to interact with things. But
so which one comes out ahead? Like there's so many options, Starbreeze, right? For this, you know? So it's like, it's interesting to see where the fans line up.
Yeah.
Coming out of this with either like Morpheus because it's native for PS4, or if you go to Oculus where you might have more options. Like,
so I think Morpheus has the initial edge just because you're just buying the one thing because you already have the system for it, but it's also going to be obviously the most underpowered. So I don't know. Like, at the same time, like these initial buyers, we're going to spend a bunch of money. We're okay with buying Oculus or Valve's thing.
Isn't Morpheus' biggest problem going to be the software lineup?
I mean, I think they all have the same problem.
There's still not the issue going forward for all these things.
But I mean, on the PC, though, you're going to constantly have, like, everyone's going to be dumping out all their demos, and there's always going to be something new to experience on the PC. Like, have you ever actually looked, like, at the Oculus, like, see all the demo crap that people have put out, the tech demos and all that kind of stuff? There's, like, a million things constantly coming out. Every developer that wants to pick this up and try it out to make something, it ends up out there so you can check it out. Like, there's always going to be, even if you're not, I mean, we still don't know if we're going to be sitting down playing games for hours with these things yet. But, like,
I still think to get more mass appeal, I think Morpheus is better positioned. I think it has lower barriers of entry. And, like, it also has that console edge of just, like,
it's going to work.
Yeah. Versus you're going to need your PC buddy to kind of get the Oculus going to show it off to you initially. And we will have plenty to do, but I wonder if that can actually break through initially. But I think the first year is just going to be weird as far as like people playing demos and some of these games falling on their faces and like figuring out, okay, how much time is a comfortable amount of time to play in this? And also just like what game experiences work and what like non-game experiences work. Like I kept thinking like people are, and trying to figure out like what games to play, and I was like, I kind of want to play like Gone Home, like I just want to replay that in VR, and like there's some other of those types of games that I haven't really been hearing people talking about that would be fun to absorb myself in for a couple hours at a time that aren't like super intense like dog fighting simulators and that kind of thing. So I'll be curious what like the breakthrough apps end up being because. I felt like they were announcing more concrete games, but nothing really jumped out on that side, and we're still kind of waiting to see that. But doesn't make me not excited. I could mess with those demos for all of next year, too.
Did you guys hear Dan Riker of Giant Bomb talk about his demo with Palmer Luckey?
I don't think so.
No.
What went on?
Hearing him describe that experience sounded... you can just go check it out on Giant Bomb. I think it was one of their live streams, their nightly streams. But so it's worth hunting down. But if I can just kind of paraphrase it, it's basically he went into this demo. It's just him and Palmer Luckey. Palmer goes into another room where I guess he's got, I don't know if he's got a headset on there too or whatever it is. But and then Dan puts on the headset and he gets the two Oculus controller things, which are like sound like. Kind of a, I don't know if you can see them. There's pictures online, but you can, it sounds like kind of like a, whatever attaches to a Wiimo, the nunchuck, but then it's got a ring around it that has sensors to detect where you, what you're doing with your fingers. and then Palmer, he's in this like room and Palmer appears in the world, like some kind of like floating head and hands, like, like something out of Lawnmower Man or something, or Andross, I think somebody
described Andross.
And he's like giving Dan instructions on how to, like, what to do. Like, okay, do this with your, you know, like, he's like, do two thumbs up. And he moved his thumbs up. And because of the sensors in the world, he sees his hands and he sees his thumbs move. And he ends up like, pick up this object here. I'm going to throw stuff at you, hit it or whatever. And like, just, they're just interacting with the world. And then, but then like, so Palmer's like manipulating the world and says like he hits him with like a shrink ray and then he gives him these like robot boxing gloves and he's punching a little toy dinosaur or something and he's he's just like playing and like doing all this crazy stuff. And then he's like, okay, now let's pick up this ping pong paddle. And then they go into space and it goes low gravity and they're hitting a ball back and forth and stuff. And at some point they were shooting guns at each other and he said he's ducking behind a couch or something. And like the way he described it, it sounded like, you know, you're not necessarily going to have that experience at home because that's like a thing you're whatever, but
yeah.
Interacting with someone else in a space that's like the VR space sounds like something incredible. Like
yeah. This
is something that I've heard tons of people describe from their demos with Oculus is like anything where it's like another person in the room, like you know, like if you could be online and having an experience in the same room with somebody in a way you just never would be able to before, like the way you're interacting and stuff. And like, and those controllers sound pretty neat. And I know they're like, you can do a lot of the same stuff with a Move controller too. So Morpheus should have some of that.
Yeah. But that thing's detecting finger movement.
No. Right. Yeah. Right. So there's some of those kinds of things. If you're grabbing stuff or whatever, it could feel more natural with the Oculus ones, but everyone says you have to experience it for yourself. And I get it, but man, I couldn't possibly be more excited for buying one of these things. And it's like the moment, the first one that launches, probably just going to buy that. And if I end up with a whole bunch of them, so be it. But I really want to have these experiences. I mean, and right out of the gate, I've got a game I'm going to use to play it. I play Elite Dangerous. So yeah, I'm going to sit my spaceship in virtual reality and I'm going to just disappear for hours on it.
That sounds amazing though.
Yeah.
It's like worth trying out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's what wasn't at this E3 that you kind of expected to be here or what was it missing? We'll keep this kind of short. So, Josh.
I think we all kind of felt the same thing with Nintendo or like, and they said it beforehand, but they should have brought Zelda.
They should have. Yep.
I almost like they sat down when they started the 3DS Zelda stuff. I thought they were going to talk about the Wii U one just a little bit. And actually, Aaron, you've got it. Beyond Zelda.
Yeah, they really just lacked anything that really grabbed hold of the audience. It felt like a Nintendo Direct that was happening during E3 week, and it's like I usually can skip those things and watch them later or look at people's notes of what happened, and this event just kind of felt like that. It didn't really have the thing that I really wanted. And it was a lot of just, it left me with questions or this thing looks interesting. I'll check it out later. But it was just every other press conference, you know, next to this one gave me something that I'm like, oh, I'm excited. Or there's a surprise. Nintendo, it's like Mario Maker's coming on 9/11.
Well, I think that's the thing a lot with not just the Zelda or and Nintendo. I agree. Like it was lackluster, but a lot of the things that they showed at the Video Game Awards that I wanted to see more of, they didn't show here. Like that that gravity space game, I forget what it's called, where you're like floating around trying to get oxygen.
Huh. Adrift?
Mm.
Adrift, yeah. I didn't see anything about that. Was it there?
I heard people talking about it. I think it was. Okay.
And then that new the creators from Gone Home game, like I know they got showcased a little bit too, but I think
Tacoma.
I want to see more of it.
Yeah, I think that actually in Microsoft's maybe.
At Firewatch too. Want to know more.
I think Adrift might have been shown off with the VR stuff.
Okay, so then wow, okay, that'd be real cool.
I think so.
Yeah, like I thought Nintendo would have a card up their sleeve, and they didn't. They didn't, and same thing with Microsoft. Like. They still seem to be more treading water, and Sony just it was at least given like I don't think Final Fantasy VII is gonna make or break the PlayStation by any means, but they're giving their fans what they want. Like they seem engaged with their fans and give you things to be excited about, and Nintendo and Microsoft just seem like a little further separated. And then at the same time, EA just looks lost to me. Like they need to give me something to be excited about that. I don't know. It's just the BioWare stuff for me at this point. So,
well, I mean, Star Wars.
Well, but it's not. Yeah. It's just like, because they default won the Star Wars licensing stuff. Yeah. I'm curious in those games. And Amy Hennig's there working on something. So maybe they'll blow that stuff out. And that kind of leads into like, what do we want to see next year? And, I guess I would like to see Amy Hennig's game apparently. but yeah, from Nintendo. Yeah. Just like show us that other hook to Zelda and show us what your fucking plans are. What is not necessarily what the NX is, but like where the fuck are you going? Like,
well, that's the thing, right? If they didn't show any like big, if they didn't have that big hook for like this is the promise of the future of the Wii U. Like, hey, you got some. Everyone else had these things where like we assume maybe it's 2017 because they didn't put a date on it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like with Nintendo, you're like, well. If it's 2017, does that mean it's a different console by that point? Are they just not going to do anything really big? And is there, like, even with Zelda, like, is that actually going to be on the Wii U?
That's a scary thought.
Is it going to be another Twilight Princess situation? Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
But just, like, it's kind of weird that they're not hooking you for the future. Like,
they're doing some stuff right, though. And it's just, like, I want to see the vision and, like, yeah, and like they don't mention any of their mobile stuff with the DNA, like those types of things.
They didn't talk about that.
Mm. I should just either go full blown Apple, where you're just like announcing stuff and then going like, oh, and it's out. You know, you can go get that next week or whatever, or just get with the times. So like everyone else is like these are investments and people are trying to decide like to buy systems or what. I mean. That you hope if they don't think that, then that means they think that the install base they have is what they've got. And I know that it's not true, at least with their 3DS, but it just, give us some reason to think that Nintendo is one of the big three.
Exactly.
All right, go ahead and go into what you want to see, Josh, because that's kind of related to Nintendo.
I want to see Metroid. I said it earlier. What the hell? Give us a real Metroid. So I think on my list, like Metroid 4, Super Metroid Maker, and Metroid Prime 4. Like, I don't care.
I do hope they blow out Mario Maker, though, with other shit.
Like, yeah.
That would be wild.
God. Zelda
Maker, yeah. Metroid Maker.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Metroid Maker not blowing up.
Donkey Kong Maker. Just,
yeah, sure. I just want to see another proper Metroid game, not this whatever Freedom Force or whatever the hell.
Freedom Force.
Federalis. Fantastic, whatever.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I can't remember the name, but it looked dumb.
I think next year will have to be huge. I want to see like the first like big VR game that I'm excited about. I hope like that companies just bring it next year. Like we've basically up until E3 next year, we've gotten our hands on VR. We're just doing all the demos. We're super excited, but like give me the killer apps now. Give me something meaty that I'm not.
Home too.
Yeah.
Nintendo's NX is just a VR thing you put on your head.
Oh, shit. They just jump everybody.
And they just and they said it's out tomorrow.
What do you want to see next year, Cole?
Man, I just want Nintendo to have something at all.
We all do.
I know, and we've talked you know, add-ins about that. But also want to see something from Sony's first party outside of Uncharted. And then, I mean, Horizon is interesting.
That was like, nice.
I want to see more stuff like that. That has me excited.
What's Santa Monica working on? They're just working on the God of War 3 HD. Yeah. Like, yeah, what are they? What are they?
Can't be everything.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck God of War. Get it. It's, I don't know. That's never was never my thing. I just want to move on to new things. And then obviously, like, this is a big ask, but solid release dates for everything from this year, because I want to play a lot of the stuff that I saw this year.
Yeah, and, you wanna know.
And I took a different approach to E3 for myself this year and kind of stayed away from the press conferences initially. And I was more excited about what I saw this year than I have been. And maybe that's a product of me taking the news differently, or maybe it's a product of them actually having good things I'm interested in.
And Aaron, what about you?
Well, now Josh has me scared about whether or not Zelda's going to be on the Wii U, so I hope they clarify that bit of information. But I'm really excited to see what Naughty Dog does after Uncharted 4, because The Last of Us was one of my favorite games of, you know, when it came out. And they don't necessarily have to make a sequel to that, but I trust Naughty Dog to make a really good new game that's neither of those, and just to take everything they've done leading up to this moment or that moment and just blow us away with like a culmination of just Naughty Dog-ness.
What if they make a Last of Us type of game, but more, even more playable?
Well, that would satisfy, you know, a group of people. And I think that would even satisfy the people that enjoyed The Last of Us as well. I think Naughty Dog's just a really good, you know, firing on all cylinders system. You know,
and I feel like they also kind of went through a transition after, basically they're in their post Uncharted 3 days of, like, they've got kind of different creatives heading up their studio. So I think we'll see a little bit of a shift from them too, but definitely want to, like, man, they just... You can already see them flexing the PS4's power, like, with, you know, all their PS3 games just look like they knew the ins and outs of that machine better than anybody. And just to see them do that with the PS4.
I want a space game from them.
Oh, I was about to say, I want a space opera from.
Yes. Yes. I would love that.
Feel that.
Yeah.
Their characters are the most, like, realistic characters in the industry right now. Like, they do it so well that the way they bring in, like, you know, the mocap stuff with really good actors, and God, I just want, I want that. Just take us somewhere like that's, cause that seems like, I feel like sci-fi is a way probably to push yourself as a creator too. I mean,
storyteller and stuff,
like, cause like you, that's easy to screw up, but also possibilities are, like, you know, like you can really just kind of take it anywhere. And I want to know what those writers can come up with. It's somewhere where they're not so constrained or confined. Like, I'm cold.
That's a perfect.
I'll be there with you day one.
I don't care. Make it a Uncharted, like, treasure hunter, bounty hunter, space guy. Like, I'm all in.
Space Drake.
Yeah, space Drake. Yeah.
Awesome. And then last question of now we're kind of seeing what the games lineup looks like between now and next E3. How are you guys feeling about the games of 2015 and next spring? Because I don't know. I thought 2014 was a little bit of a down year, and 2015 is coming together for me.
And we all wanted all these games to be out already last holiday.
Basically.
So we're actually finally going to get games released. So it's like I'm just finally kind of brushing off that hard outer shell that I was developing, just getting bitter, more bitter.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Finally,
okay. So now we're going to get some games. So now I got to actually get to play stuff so I can shut up and stop bitching.
The payoff is coming.
I'll be curious how the spring actually shakes out, because we've already got a bunch of stuff pushed back to the spring, and, like, they're not all going to fit in there. So I'll be curious to see, I don't know, what becomes, like, the April, May releases that kind of really start to steal my summer. So what's the Witcher 3 of next year, basically?
Witcher 3.
When are we going to hear more about their Cyberpunk game? I should add that.
They said they're not talking about that for a long time. You probably don't hear about that till, like, 2016, 2017. So,
jeez, I want to know more, especially after Witcher 3.
I bet they have a lot more Witcher 3 planned, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
I bet so.
Yeah, I think they have, like, another 20-hour quest or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
as DLC. So
definitive edition.
Yeah,
it's got to come out in the spring.
Game of the year
with more, even more textures.
All right, I think we're gonna say goodbye to E3 2015, gentlemen. Thanks for walking through that with me. That was
you're welcome.
Overdue. That was a good time.
It was great to vent.
Ethan, it was great hanging out with you.
All the way from Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ethan Lee.
I thought we'd actually, I'd actually trick him into showing up. Almost happened, but yeah. No. Josh, Cole, Aaron, thanks everybody, and Horrible Night. We'll be back in action starting after this podcast. So we'll be doing our regular podcast coming up, and we'll talk to you then.
Electronics, electronics, electronics.